Blog Talk Radio.
You've got a treat here. We are the late night edition to Freedomizer, and we have a lot of fun here. So anything kind of goes, you know, within reason. Anyways, tonight, you know, I'm looking at what's going on. I'm watching our local news and watching the world news and all the propaganda news, and it's all very interesting and very intriguing. But you know what's really funny is I'm like, okay, so I started doing some searches on you know, some of the things out there in the Christian prophecy world. And I don't know if you guys have heard, this is probably old news to you, for some of you, maybe not, but there's, I honestly couldn't believe this. So there's this dude out here that says that there's Judgment Day is coming May 21st of 2011, and the end of the world is going to be in October. This thing isn't too new, although some people may not know about it, but then I'm going to get into some news that you're just going to go, huh? Where did they get that? Wow. Okay. So let's start here. The end of the world, October 21st, 2011. And this guy is basing, let's just get to the news about it first, okay, and then we'll get into this. So, the end of days in May, Christian group spreads word. And this is coming out of Raleigh, North Carolina. If there had been time, Marie Exley would have liked to start a family. Instead, The 32-year-old Army veteran has less than 6 months left, which she'll spend spreading a stark warning. Judgment Day is almost here. Exley is part of a movement of Christians loosely organized by radio broadcasts and websites independent of churches and convinced. Now, see, you like the way they throw in there, loosely organized radio broadcasts and websites. This actually comes from one person, the one nut out there. So we're going to keep getting into this. So independent of churches and convinced by their reading of the Bible that the end of the world will begin May 21st, 2011. All right. So to get the word out, they're using billboards and bus stop benches, traveling caravans of RVs, and volunteers passing out pamphlets on street corners. Cities from Bridgeport, Connecticut to Little Rock, Arkansas now have billboards with the ominous message, and mission groups are traveling. This is like, what? Really? People lost their flipping minds? Okay, so we have all these messages all over the place, and mission groups are traveling through Latin America and Africa to spread the news outside of the United States. All right, okay. A lot of people might think the end is coming. Let's go party, says Exley, a veteran of two deployments in Iraq. But we're commanded by God to warn people. I wish I could just be like everybody else, but it's so much better to know that when the end comes, you'll be safe. So in August, Exley left her home in Colorado Springs to work with an Oakland, California-based family radio worldwide, and this is where this is coming from. The independent Christian ministry, whose leader, Harold Camping, has calculated the May 21st date based on his reading from the Bible. I just love the way that these Christians like to start using the Bible to try to calculate dates and times. It's just amazing. It's just amazing to me. So she's organizing traveling columns of RVs carrying the message from city to city. A logistics challenge that her military experience has helped solve. The vehicles are scheduled to be in 5 North Carolina cities between now and the second week of January. But Exley will shortly be gone overseas, where she hopes to eventually make it back to Iraq. I don't really have plans to come back, she said. Time is short. Oh, boy. Not everyone who's heard Camping's message is taking such dramatic steps. They're remaining in their day-to-day lives, but helping publicize the prophecy in other ways. And just goes on talking about how people are pitching in to get this message out. So, basically, I went to their website and downloaded their this dude's prophecy timeline. And I'm like, whoa, very interesting. But a little bit about him first, really quick. Here's the sad thing. People are following this stuff. People are actually following this stuff. It's amazing. All right, so a little bit about this dude, okay. A few churches are willing to set a date for the end of the world, heeding Jesus' words in the Gospels of Mark and Matthew that no one can know the day or hour it will happen. Predictions like Camping's, though, aren't new. So one of the most famous in history by the Baptist leader William Miller, who predicted the end of the world October 22, 1844, which came to be known as the Great Disappointment among his followers. Hello, we're still here. Okay, so in the U.S., there's still a significant population, mostly Protestant, who look at the Bible as kind of a puzzle. And the puzzle is God's Word, and it's predicting when the end times will come. That's what they're saying. So, this dude Camping also made another prediction, which failed. And he says, oh, my calculations were just wrong, but I got it right this time. So, okay. So his predictions, according to him, the timing of these events in history. He's saying 11,013 BC was creation, 4990 BC was the flood, 7 BC was the year Jesus was born, 33 AD was the year he was crucified, 1988 AD, this year, ended the church age. Now here's where it gets weird. He's saying in 1988, this year, ended the church age and began the great tribulation of 23 years. And he's saying it's 13,000 years from creation. And then in 1994, on September 7th, the first 2300-day period of the Great Tribulation came to an end. Really? And then, and the latter rain began, commencing God's plan to save a great multitude of people outside the churches. That's 13,006 years from creation. Now, in 2011 AD, on May 21st, Judgment Day will begin and the rapture will occur at the end of the 23-year Great Tribulation. On October 21st, the world will be destroyed by fire, which is calculated at 7,000 years from the flood and 13,023 years from creation. So I don't want to get into all the specifics. It's really kind of mumbo jumbo. Basically, what he's saying is he's using these mathematics as for the 7,000 year thing. All right, whatever. I'll go ahead and paste this into the chat room because I don't really want to waste a whole bunch of time on it. But it's just like, really? Are you kidding me? Okay. So there's that. And then the next list of the crazies we're going to talk about. Wow. Now, who started this one? Okay. Now, a little bit of back. A little bit of information, some back information. Then you'll understand where this came from. There's this dude. His name is Ariel Sharon, and he's been in a coma for like the last 4 years in Israel. Okay. And let's see here. There was another guy who was a Jewish rabbi who said that he seen Jesus. Jesus appeared to him. And then he went and preached in the synagogue how to recognize the Messiah. And then he went on his deathbed. Well, he wrote a note. And this is all in the actual news. Like, you can find this stuff, literally. This is real. I'm telling you, this part's real. So he wrote a note, and on his deathbed, he gave it to his son to give to whoever else or whatever to make it known. And he said, don't open it until a year after I die. So, okay. Then the opening of the letter came a year after he died, and what revealed was that Jesus would appear to Israel, okay, the remnant in Israel, after this Ariel Sharon, which is the old prime minister, died. All right, now here's what's got all the Pharisees over there in a panic, or all the rabbis that are called rabbis now. Here's what's got them all in a panic. And this gets better, trust me, just bear with me, let me get the story laid first. Okay, so a year after his note, that's when this Ariel dude had a massive stroke of some kind, which left him in a coma. So they've had him at the hospital in Tel Aviv and then, you know, taking care of him all this time. He's been in a coma. They're keeping this dude alive because they don't, you know, I guess they're in fear of what might happen when he dies. I don't know what that's speculation. But here's the update. This just out, let's see here. Apparently he's looking like he could be waking from his coma, okay? So after all this time, this dude, now go with me. This dude is waking up from his coma, and at the same time, Gabriel Gifford gets shot in the head, okay? Go with me. And then at the same time, a little girl who was born on 9/11, okay, was killed. Now, here's what the nutcases are saying. This Gifford chick is something to do with one of the heads of the seven heads of the beast. All right, something to do with the Antichrist. They're even calling, what if the Antichrist is a woman? So they're thinking that this woman, because she had a fatal a wound to the head and miraculously, you know, survived it, and she's going to look like she's got really great prognosis. Well, here's all the stuff put together. Here's what people are seeing. They're going, okay, the world's gone crazy. They're looking at Hosea 4:3, where it says, "Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beasts of the field, and with the fowls of heaven, which is the birds, yea, the fish of the sea also will be taken away." And then we have the classic Luke 21, what verse is this? 21:11. Where it says, "And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs there shall be from heaven." And signs from heaven means the sky. So they're putting all of this together now, and that this Gifford has to do with the Antichrist. Okay? We've got the crazies bunkering down, getting ready for the end of the world. They're seeing all this cataclysmic stuff going on with the weather as part of this great day of the Lord approaching. And then we've got this woman who's Jewish, by the way. She's a Jewish congresswoman. And now they're trying to link. This is how crazy this is. Now they're trying to link the woman who flees to the desert. Well, they're saying, well, Arizona's a desert. I'm like, whoa, people are going crazy. I'm like, wow, where do people get this stuff? So I'm just like kind of beside myself. It's amazing to me. Yes, I personally believe in all the prophecies, but come on now. You know, people are going crazy. We've got thousands and thousands of people. Now they're going all over the world, scaring the bejesus out of people, telling them the world's going to end in October and Judgment Day is coming this May. Wow. You know, don't drink the Kool-Aid, man. That's all I have to say. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Boy, oh boy, oh boy. Yes, this is the land of Oz. Follow the yellow brick road. I'm like, oh man, how can people get off on these crazy tangents? But it's happening. So you'll probably start to hear more and more things come out as time grows. That Gifford's the Antichrist, this Gabrielle Gifford, because she's Jewish, and all at the same time. Now, here's what's strange, and I'll give them that. It is kind of strange that all that took place at the same time. We've got Sharon waking from a coma. We've got Gifford, who was mortally wounded in the head and miraculously lived. And then we have a little girl who was born on 9/11, 2001, the day that America took a wound to our country. This little girl was born and then was killed at the same time. You see how they can like read into this stuff? And so I'm just like, wow, you know, that is kind of crazy. But to go as far as to say that this woman's the Antichrist and she's got something to do with being the seventh head of the beast, it, you know, wow. Hey, listen, this is not only my show, it's your show too. Call in, number's 347-324-3704. Give us a call, give us a holler. I'd like to hear from you. I've got about 38 minutes left. And, you know, tonight is just talking about the crazies because, you know, it does say, you know, in the end days, people are going to be nuts. They are. They're going to be nuts. And then we got 2012 coming up, right? So we've already got this subculture, the 2012 followers, these subcultures. Very intriguing. Lots of actual scientific information coming out around that, about the solar storm warning, about NASA and all this other stuff. Somebody put a link in the chat room a little while ago, and I actually went and checked it out. And pretty intriguing stuff. So I'll repaste that. So, you know, I think that this year is a prelude to what's going to happen. You're going to watch literally people go nuts. You're going to watch people go crazy, and they're going to be going to and fro. You know what I mean? And unfortunately, these people are honestly, the truth isn't in them because you know, they're running out of fear, and God doesn't give us a spirit of fear. So, anyways, very strange stuff. And I think I put the chat room in for you guys for this October 21st deal. This guy, he's already got one down. I mean, you know, it just goes to show how much how people are getting stupider by the day. And that's a strong statement, but it's true, because how many people have fallen for this, okay? You don't set dates. That's just number one no-no. Any person that actually is a Bible student knows better than to do that. So this dude has already done this once before, and he had his whole church congregation looking foolish because, yeah, that day came and went. I think it was back in the early 90s when this happened. Oh, it was just a wrong calculation, but I figured it out. God gave it to me, and now I have the truth. It's actually May of 2011, and October's the end. Oh, does it not say that a false prophet is marked by one false prophecy? Yeah, and now it's getting spread through, let's see, not only the United States, but also Africa and whatever other country I named earlier. There are literally mission groups going out there telling people this. And it's only going to get better because as we approach 2012, okay, when we get into the year 2012, and like in January, you're going to start seeing these Jim Jones type of cults forming. And all I got to say is, don't drink the Kool-Aid, man. Just don't do it. You just can't do it. Not a good thing. be vigilant. That's the biggest thing. And the actual Bible students out there, be vigilant. Be vigilant. Don't follow the masses. Anyways, pretty crazy. I thought I'd share that with you. And then this one here, Godlike Productions. I don't know, you know, there are some really crazy stuff coming out of this website. I go over there and look at some of their threads. I'll put it in the chat room here, and the stuff those people come up with. And this is where it's originating from. You're going to start seeing videos on YouTube about it, I'm pretty sure. But look, check that out, Godlike Productions. And they're the ones talking about, you know, oh, this woman is the Antichrist. Ah, she got shot in the head and she lived. Well, I guess anybody shot in the head that lived could be an Antichrist then. I don't know. Whatever. All right, so we're going to take a few minutes break here. If you guys want to call in, by all means, call in. I'm just having fun tonight, nothing real serious. You know, I have another actual serious show that I do on Holy Living Ministries, and that's where I kind of get, you know, down to the business when it comes to anything to do with Bible. But tonight, it's about late night fun, and that's what we're going to do here tonight. Call in and share your stuff. So we'll be right back.
Thank you for calling 911. Our offices are closed because everyone is at the donut shop. We discussed the situation before we left, and we believe you are old enough to be responsible while we are away. Please be careful with matches and do not play with knives, and things should be okay until we get back. Hang up the phone now.
George, how you doing? I'm JR.
Nice JR.
Yeah.
I have an initial.
Yeah.
either of these to you or what?
Yeah, sure. JR. Wanted to ask you, George, I'm really curious to find out what you think about this whole 9/11 conspiracy truth movement thing that's going on across the nation. They interrupted Bill Maher's show last Friday.
Yeah.
What are your personal thoughts on that? Would you care to comment on that?
I always question the received reality. The consensus reality is often intentionally misleading.
Would you support a new investigation on 9/11?
You know, that's like, you know, that they don't investigate themselves in this country. Those people, there would be a white one. It would be like the Kennedy thing. It would be like everything.
Okay.
The people who are in charge do what they want, and they will always do what they want. The power does what it wants to. And I wouldn't trust an investigation. It's just fun. It's good speculation. Because you can't, you're getting this on here.
Oh, yeah. I hope you don't mind.
Well, anyway, now you know. Take care of yourself.
Thank you so much. Appreciate
okay.
it. Thank you, George. Thank you.
All those things. override a
oh yeah.
Some of these issues to with full documentation that there's nothing
like hi.
I think there's no doubt that
which is man
blah 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 blah.
It has been in the past.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
All right. Yeah, so actually that earlier clip, I love that Beavis and Butthead little clip there making fun of Obama. It's great stuff there. But earlier I played a little Carlin clip for you, and that was one of the off-the-record kind of rare clips. What happened there was a fan went up and got, I guess, a book that he wrote. He went up to get it autographed, and he was recording, and got him recorded what he thought about 9/11. And then if you notice, as soon as he realized he was being recorded, he goes, okay, well, there you go. Now you know. He cut it down. But that's a rare clip for you guys. I hope you enjoyed it. It was kind of a treat. You know, yeah, a lot of crazy things going on. As far – I loved Carnhart, the way that he was bringing out information with proof tonight. Lots of good stuff there. And another thing is this whole North Atlantic current being gone. You know, Lord Sterling, when he was on a show of mine a while back, he had said that it is probable that it would actually create kind of a mini ice age. And we're kind of seeing that take fruition now. And then all this craziness with the polar shifting and stuff. And I know that polar shifting isn't anything new. It happens so many thousands of years. You know, the Earth goes through some kind of shifting of whatnot, and it's got everybody in an uproar. But here's the thing, you know, maybe I'm just a little silly. Maybe Val's being a little silly. You know, I'm a silly little girl sometimes. But honestly, if something this cataclysmic is going to happen to the Earth, what is it we're going to do about it? Nothing. What can you run from it? Probably not. So, hey, you get to sit here and watch the big gig in the sky, baby. Ain't nothing wrong with that, you know. I hope that you're right with Jesus, but, you know, that's my personal view. But whatever, we're going to see some pretty extraordinary things happening, and we're living in exciting times. So nothing too crazy about that. But I don't know. There's not a whole lot really to say other than, yeah, the world's gone nuts and the people have gone just as nuts with it. It just amazes me every time I go out, like in public, you know, and I'm not talking about the Ron White fashion, you know, when you get drunk, you got a drunk in public. Well, no, they threw me in public, nothing like that. But when I go out in public, people are literally, it's like their mindset's changing, you know? Have you noticed how crazy people are driving these days? Man, are we getting an overdose of EMP waves lately or something? Because this is nuts. And then the other thing, this is kind of interesting. There's invisible UFOs in the sky, and these birds have hit them and died. Okay, so, because they have found that apparently, these birds have died from blunt force trauma. And some of the birds have even had, like, broken wings and things like that. So, I don't know. That's another, you know, some of the crazies coming out. We've got, there's UFOs in the sky. They're all getting ready to appear, but they're actually up there, like kind of hovering, but they're invisible. And these birds are just kind of randomly, like you know, herds of them, flocks of them are just like running into the UFO and then dying and falling to the ground. So that's another story that's out there. The more you dig into this stuff and finding reasons what's going on, it's interesting because I like to look at the crazy stories because it's quite entertaining. So I thought I'd talk to you a little bit about that tonight. Tune in says no, Val, it's psychotropic drugs. You know, epic times are here, boy. Indeed. Yeah, if you've got something to report, give us a call. You know, I'd like to hear it. I'm just rambling, wasting time here for another 25 minutes. And I hope you enjoyed those stories I brought you, because it's just going to show you those stories are real. This is what people are thinking. It's like, man, if people lost their flipping minds, obviously. I don't know. Pretty nuts. Anyways, let's see here. Checking out the chat room. Couple of announcements. We've got, hold on here. So Mike says Skyline is going to take place. Isn't that something to do with the UFO thing? I haven't watched Skyline, so I don't really know what that's about. I heard it has something to do with an alien agenda. You know, I did see a new person in Freedomizer earlier. This is earlier in the day. I think they were from Sweden. They said they finally learned for the first time about garden plot. I'm like, whoa, well, you're just starting, you know. So Freedomizer is doing what it's supposed to be doing. You know, I like to see the evidence of new people come here that really have no idea about this stuff. You know, they've never been exposed to this stuff. And I'm talking about the real stuff going on, not all the crazy stories I just talked about, but the real stuff going on, the things that we are dealing with. I love to see people come in that it's all new to them. And sometimes I think we take it for granted how much information we have in our heads. And, you know, there are people that still need to hear this stuff. So I was really glad to see that earlier. That kind of made me feel good that, you know, Freedomizer is doing its job. That's awesome. It's way awesome. So anyways, stay away from Godlike Productions. They're a bunch of crazies. And, you know, it's these crazy Christians that give the Bible student people a bad rap, because there are people that are, you know, diligently doing things of Bible and trying to walk in love and trying to do their part to humanity and be a good person. And then we have these nut jobs that come out and ruin it and kind of give us all a bad name, and that's unfortunate. You know, and then we've got these crazy protesters out there. You know, I think there was protesters out with the dude who shot Gabrielle Giffords, saying God hates you and all this other stuff, and just, it's like, wow, you know, that's a bold statement. Sure, God hates that act and all that, but wow. I kind of cringe when I see the protesters going, because it's like, man, oh, and then at the same token, they're drenched so much into paganism, and they're actually completely blindsided. They don't even have the truth in them. You know, it's kind of a sad thing, really. But, you know, whatever. Mike says, what have they been smoking? I don't know, but pass it over here. Just kidding. Well, there were days when I used to smoke. I can't do that now. No. But I remember those days. Yeah. And everyone has a box of chocolates, you know.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
That's right. You never know what you're going to get. So we got to be good little girls and boys out there. All right, time for a little bit of a song break, and hope you enjoy this one, because this man speaks truth.
Hello, this is the IIAP, the Illegal Immigration Assistance Program, a taxpayer-funded division of OAPNUT for Spanish Press 1, Portuguese 2, Arabic 3, Farsi 4, French 5, Swahili 6, German 7, Italian 8, and if you insist on English, please stand by. If you're thinking about illegal immigration, be careful when you're choosing the nation, because breaking the law in some countries is frowned upon. Imagine that. Sneak into China, they'll call you a spy, ship you to Mongolia till you die, and in the Sudan, they'll hang you and the camel you rode in on. Yeah, and don't go hiking and enter Iran, or you might never be heard from again, and in Mexico, you might face a firing squad. Yeah, forget all about going to North Korea. That's a great example of a bad idea. So when it comes down to it, there's only one option you got. Yeah, come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay should you get caught illegally immigrating. Come to the USA. It will be your lucky day, 'cause when you get in, there's lots of goodies waiting. Like health care, welfare, free education, help with your voter registration and driver's license and credit cards and license plates for your car. Lots of jobs for you to do and employers who'll turn a blind eye to. Come to the USA. No need to worry about the Constitution. We'll help you start a house of prostitution if that's the kind of work that you want to do. You see, those gringo infidels are crazy. They'll give citizenship to your new baby. So you see, there's really only one choice for you. Come to the USA. There's no penalty to pay should you get caught illegally immigrating. I said, come to the USA. It will be your lucky day, 'cause when you get in, there's lots of goodies waiting. Yeah, you get public housing and cable TV and food stamps and even government cheese. The borders are a swinging door. Go home for a visit and come back for more. There's sanctuary and amnesty. Bring the whole family eventually. Yeah, come to the USA. This has been a public service message sponsored by OAPNUT, dedicated to the collapse of the American way of life. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. Ain't that the truth? Boy, I tell you, you know, by the way, tune in. I checked out that that site that you gave me, JesusIsSavior.com. There is a lot of information on that site. I mean, look at this. There's like a whole lot. I can't tell you what I think yet. I have to really look at it. But here's what I do if you want to know how to stay away from the crazies. I call them the Christian zealots, the nut jobs out there. You know, stay away from things that have to do with rapture, that have to do with once saved, always saved, that has to do with the prosperity gospel. Gosh, if there's any more, put them in there, Mike. Those kind of things, those are bad. Those are there's no truth in those places. So stay away, far away. You know, honestly, I would just do your own Bible study. And yeah, it is. It's a lot of information on this site. So I would have to dissect it, and I think this will take me a while. Yeah, that would take me quite a while. Let me check the switchboard really quick. Okay. Yeah, I'm just kind of being goofy tonight. You know, I don't have a whole lot going on right now. I've got to move, so I'm moving this weekend into another place. So I don't have a whole lot of time between my my network that I'm running over on HLM, and then the Sabbath plus the Nexus plus this night's show, and then the stuff that's going on in my life. So I have, you know, I just haven't had time to put any kind of formal show together or any kind of real information, you know, stuff for you. I was just checking out all the crazies out there. I thought that'd be kind of fun to talk about. Should I like it? Keep me posted. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You got Rickrolled. No, I've gotten Rickrolled, and that ain't fun. You know, I first started on YouTube. That dude was annoying, okay, because he puts up those huge, you know, those big propaganda-type titles that, you know, Michael Jackson is an alien, and people will click on it, and you get Rickrolled. And then when you get Rickrolled, you feel like a jackass, like the donkey, the jackass. You feel like a jackass because it's like, oh, I did it again. That dude is annoying. He is really annoying. So, yeah. I haven't heard that term, Rickrolled, in a long time. That's funny. Anyways, yeah, and the other thing is stay away from dates. You know, people are proclaiming some kind of date or anything like that. Stay away from those people. Those are bad news. And then you get the people using this. It's kind of funny too. And on the other extreme side, there's even people here on BTR that uses sorcery and calls it Bible prophecy. That's pretty amazing, because the last I checked, divination was an abomination, so that's pretty interesting. Yeah, they've got the Bible codes and numerology and astrology, and they're using all that to try to figure out the Bible prophecies. Well, truth's never going to be given to them doing that, so stay very far away from those people as well. Not a good thing. You know, there's really not much preparing to do. Now, some people might think I'm crazy, but quite honestly, if you're walking in righteousness, meaning you're like you're following the Ten Commandments and you're doing the best that you can, and you've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you're doing, you know, all that stuff, there's really, what kind of preparing are you going to do, really? I mean, if we've got solar flares that's going to like strike the earth and it has the ability to like burn up, you know, all kinds of stuff, where are you going to go? I mean, there's really nowhere to go. Are you supposed to be afraid? I don't think so. You know, just get right with your whatever decision that you feel comfortable with for meeting the ever after. Get with it, you know, because time is getting crazy. What's next, you know? You know, and not a lot of news. Have any of you heard any news coming out from that missile out of the Texas coast a couple of weeks ago? And this was right around the time the birds started falling. There was another missile launch from Texas, and they're like, you know, there's all kinds of different speculation about that. No, it was a plane with chemtrails, or, you know, I watched the video, and planes don't move that fast. That was a rocket. And, you know, I mean, I'm not no rocket scientist, but I'm not an idiot either. That was definitely a rocket. But again, you know, nobody's talking about it. So I wonder if they're playing war games. You know, I mean, they do that. They do that crap all the time. Of course, they're not going to tell us about it. So what do they know that we don't know? We don't know. We're never really going to know until it happens. And then when they don't have control, you know, then what are they going to try to do? Order out of chaos. That's their main objective. It's order out of chaos. Mike puts in their EMP blast, China. Could be. Absolutely could be. Buck actually pasted a scripture. Buck, you're just a funny man. You are just a funny, funny man. Matthew 1:23 says that Jesus the Messiah would be called Emmanuel, which means God with us. Yet no one, not even his parents, called him Emmanuel at any point in the Bible. Well, you know, you're going to have to learn the Bible to understand that question. I don't have time to get into it right now. We got about 3 minutes, or what is it, 7 minutes or something. You're a funny man. God, I love Buck. He always comes up with some stuff, I tell you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Let's see here. I'm just checking out this site over here. Pretty crazy. Dang, tune in. There's a lot of information on this site. Man, this is like information overload. This guy or gal, whoever's created this thing, must have stood up, you know, stayed up nights on, you know, lots of Starbucks to do this thing. Wow. That is amazing. So anyway, some news about my personal life. My youngest daughter got accepted to Oregon State. Woohoo. Very, very happy about that. What did he say? You can bail now, Val? What do you mean by that, Knuckles? I can bail now? Okay. You want me to go? I can go. Anyways, my youngest daughter got accepted to Oregon State, and I'm really happy about that. She worked very hard. She was in the top 10% or something like that, or less than, I think it goes less than 10% of students get this kind of award throughout the country. And she said, or she told me that she got the Academic Presidential Award signed by Obama, whatever that means. But it's quite an achievement because she's held a 4.0 all 4 years of her high school. And she got that actually in the junior year, which is bringing her even less than 5% in junior years. Get this. So she went on the big, which college do I want to go to? They were all biting at the bit to get her. And so she chose the Beavers. I'm like, what? We're Ducks fans up here. My oldest daughter went to U of O, you know, and Ducks are kicking butt even though they lost their first game the other night. And I'm like, okay, well, you know, we're all like encouraging her. You gotta be a Duck, you know, go to U of O. No, she wants to be a Beaver. So we've got two daughters now baiting against each other. It's really kind of funny. It's really cute. Either way, it's fun, and I think I'm getting pushed out here. Knuckles wants in on this thing. 9 minutes left. I guess I can go ahead and cut early. It looks like he's chomping at the bit here, and that's okay because I, you know, I'm just kind of rambling anyway. It's not a big deal. All right, you guys take care. I'm going to go. I'll put on a song here, and then up next is Knuckles with the Rude Awakening, and it looks like he's got an interview set up with William Ramsey, author of Prophet of Evil, Aleister Crowley, 9/11, and the New World Order. So William will be promoting his new documentary, Occult Hollywood, Crowley's Impact on Hollywood. So this is going to be quite an exciting interview. I'll stick around and listen to that. So God bless everybody. Thanks for entertaining me, because that's probably what it really was about there. Let's get a song here on for you guys. What does he like? I think he likes what's her name? I'll look for a song here. Jaja. Yeah, he likes Jaja. All right, so we'll play Radioactive. God bless, guys. Bye.
The USA is crumbling. Y'all think back to some of this. The masturbation, the home invasions, the CPS is coming to snatch your baby. These confiscates, have your oldest had enough? How much more do we have to snuff? This place is in the dust. At quick point, we might combust.
Radioactive, intergalactic, counterattacking.
Order.
Radioactive, intergalactic, counterattacking. The
We are 5 days away from fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
From Chicago, criminal class. Work up home with the man, yeah, he kicked the mask. See, we learned from the best and perfected his ways. Now we're setting D.C. ablaze. Thanks to the press, the people bought a message of hope and change. Now our goals are range. See, he told you, we're gonna spread your wealth around. Fortune 500 up next for the shakedown. Lots of new policies we plan today, too. Won't recognize America when we get through. Don't need a constitution or the rule of law. We abuse our power using shock and awe. Cause we're the gangster government, we wear the crown. We call the shots and shake the people down. With the gangster government, stay out of our way. Sit down, shut up, cause you have no say. With the gangster government, we wear the crown. We call the shots and shake the people down. Cause with the gangster government, stay out of our way. Sit down, shut up, cause you have no say. Never let a crisis go to waste. So we pass a stimulus bill post 8,000 page bills. See, that's the new norm. Nobody reason no more, so we'll get our reform. Yeah, we love to spend trillions that we don't got. Paid back by our children while we all rot. Crank up the presses, that's the Fed Reserve. Gotta get our hands on that bread we so deserve. Pay off our special interest rate to get reelected. We'll spend the same. Teachers unions through aborts and the greens. The greasing up the wheels of the political machines. We're the gangsta government, we wear the crown. We call the shots to take the people. Down, just put the gangster government, stay out of our way. Sit down and shut up, cause you have no say. With the gangster government, we wear the crown. We call the shots and shake the people down. Just put the gangster government, stay out of our way. Sit down, shut up, cause you have no say. Private sector take over nearly completely. Got health and auto industries under our feet. Student loans and homes, yeah, you know we can't be beat. And we're just getting started, we take it to the street. Grand illegal amnesty, repairers their rights. Abolish secret ballots, change marriage overnight. Expand social programs to buy more votes. Bail our union pension plans, keep them afloat. We'll name the czars to champion our cause. Unaccountable to Congress and above the law. We play the race card to squash debate. Accuse of opponents of bigotry and hate. Cause we're the gangster government, we wear the crown. We call the shots and shake the people down. We're the gangster government, stay out of our way. Sit down, shut up, cause you have no say.
We have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Gangsta, that's what they yelling. This is the reality, we rob you for your salary. Gangsta, gangsta, that's what they yelling. This is the reality, we rob you for your salary.
Now we've moved into the realm of gangster government. We have gangster government.
That's what they yelling. This is the reality, we rob you for your salary. Use global warming to gain control. We'll tax the air you breathe and shut down all the coal. Offshore drilling, gotta love that man. Yeah, $8 a gallon should cut demand. Yeah, putting up the windmills and solar panels. For a permit, guess what, you have to go through our channels. Regulate your light bulbs, your car and your pad. Listen up kids, government's a new dad. The rules will only apply to you little peasants. Before the elite, the life will be more pleasant. We're keeping our Gulf Streams and SUVs. We got more important meetings than people disease. Gangster government, we wear the crown. We call the shots and shake the people down. Cause with the gangster government, stay out of our way. Sit down, shut up, cause you have no say. Yeah, gangster government, we wear the crown. Yeah, we call the shots and shake the people down. Cause with the gangster government, stay out of our way. Sit down, shut up, cause you have no say. Once midterms are over, shit will hit the fan. Lame duck Congress, yeah, they passing all our plans. The people may object, but we don't care. See, but large and in charge, gonna grab our share. The Tea Party movement, oh, that's beginning to spread. Gotta call the union thugs to bump some heads. Then stick six fists on those Tea Party types. Label them as radicals and then take away their rights. We gotta move now, 2012 ain't far away. See, DC is cozy and you know we wanna stay. We'll legalize illegals just to get us to win. Keep voter fraud alive. lie. Yes, we're in like Connecticut with a gangster government. We wear the crown. We call the shots and shake the people down. Cause we're the gangster government. Stay out of our way. Sit down, shut up, cause you have no say. Gangster government, we wear the crown. We call the shots and shake the people down. With the gangster government, stay out of our way. Sit down, shut up, cause you have no say.
Yeah, every day representing the Minnesota majority.
I've been a little amused over the last couple of days where people have been having these rallies about tax. You would think they would be saying thank you. That's what you think.
Hey everyone, you are tuned in to Freedomizer Radio. This is the call me anything but late for my show. Anyway, I think I have William Ramsey here on the line already, so right on time, like clockwork. I'm gonna go out on a limb and guess this is him. How you doing, William?
Doing well. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I can hear you just fine, and I'm sure the people out there can hear you pretty well, too. anyway, I didn't even have my chat window up. I was over there getting your material. I just got it just before the show here. I didn't expect you to come out with all this again. You come better prepared than any guests we ever have. I'll say that much for you. And you're a nice guy.
Well, thanks.
All right. Well, anyway, William Ramsey, of course, is the author of Prophet of Evil, Aleister Crowley, 9/11, and the New World Order. You can order that through his website, occult911.com. He now has a documentary. I have that video on the Freedomizer show page down bottom there. Been asking you to check it out the last couple of days, and now we have him with us. So welcome to Freedomizer once again, William. Good to have you on Knucklebones back in the day. Better to have you here. We got a few more people listening to you, so I'm looking forward to it. And is there somewhere you want to start off? Do you want me to keep to what you have here in order? Or do you have... You know, I can just go like I always do and kind of, you can get us going and then I'll keep you going type of deal.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, we can just start off basically. I am originally a 9/11, what you, I guess we could be called a 9/11 truther. What I started off finding when I was doing research is the prevalence of these numbers, 11, 93, and 77. Those were the numbers of the planes. And what I came to realize is that those were high occult numbers, and they led back to the greatest black magician of the 20th century, Aleister Crowley. Those were very important to him, and as my research kind of continued, I noticed that not only are his numbers prevalent throughout the events of 9/11, but also through our common culture, through movies, and through individuals who have been influenced by him. So not only did I write this book that, you know, my book that made this connection between Aleister Crowley and the events of 9/11, but also the film that I put together called Hollywood also kind of deals with these type of themes, this theme of the numerical numbers, but also this influence, the, you know, kind of ideology of Aleister Crowley, the occult and Satanism, et cetera. So I think that my book, Prophet of Evil, and, you know, this kind of documentary film that I put together, Cold Hollywood, are fairly similar in just kind of researching 20th century Luciferianism, I guess.
All right. Now, I kind of want to quiz you a little bit on that part, William. Aleister Crowley, now where did he come up with these numbers and why did he find them to be mystical or something that he would promote
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think that he was a very wide-ranging cultist. He was a Mason. He was a member of the Golden Dawn. He was a member of his own group, which was called the AA or the Silver Star. He was also a member of the OTO. And I think that he drew a lot of his influence from these groups, but these groups were also influenced by the Kabbalah and kind of other occult traditions. And one of the main numbers that was common, you know, to all of these groups was the number 11. The number 11 symbolizes kind of death and destruction. In Crowley's own words, the number 11 was like the number of magic. He says that it's suitable for all operations. So the number 11, he also said that it's the sacred number par excellence of the New Age. And it was an important book in his, important number in his primary book, which was called the Book of the Law. So 11 was very prevalent. The 77 was important to him. It's 7 times 11. It's 77 is kind of this kind of a mix of a magical number that symbolizes kind of the coming together of the magician. 7 and 7 does. It also symbolizes Oz, like the Wizard of Oz. And there's 77 names of the devil in the Satanic Bible by Anton Sandor LaVey. So 77 is very important to them. 93 was a Kabbalic number that is basically the Kabbalah. In the Kabbalah, there's something called the Gematria, which is the numerical significance of each word. Basically, a word added together, each letter has a numerical significance, and when you add them together, they add up to a number. Well, the two words for Crowley's, in Crowley's system, were Thelema and Agape, and both of those words add up to 93. And also, this demonic entity that he received some information from, by the name of Awas, his name adds up to 93. So these numbers are very important to Crowley.
Okay. Looking at, I'm just going over what you have here. I want people out there in the chat room that normally listen to Freedomizer, I want to make it real clear. William Ramsey, not a Satanist, he's attempting to reveal, not initiate, his ideas and views are maturing, conspiracy, conspiratorial nature of reality. That's what he's got here in his disclaimer. I'm going to put that out there for him. Now, while he is researching this, and he's a truther like all of us, or seeking the truth like all of us here at this show, either you're here seeking the truth or you're here trolling people who are seeking the truth, one or the other. Either way, but the trolls even serve their purpose. So you trolls out there, don't worry. I like you to have something to compare the truth to, and you kind of always seem to affirm whatever it is I'm talking about. You make me find good arguments. So we probably don't have a whole lot of those out, William Ramsey, and I'm pretty sure that the people are already familiar with you, but I wanted to put that out there. For what, you know, you usually mention you're a Christian, but that could be far ranging this day and age. In other words, he loves Jesus Christ. Beyond that, I can't. We're not going to elaborate on that part, but he's not a Satanist. We're here to talk about his research. He knows a ton about Aleister Crowley. We've talked in the past about Crowley's upbringing, how he's an aristocrat. In the book, he wrote Prophet of Evil. And now we're on to the occult Hollywood documentary. So those of you too lazy to read, he's got this here. I'm only kidding, listeners. This is The Rude Awakening, after all. I'm just saying, we've got this documentary now, and here it is. It's great work. He's put a lot of time and effort into it, and I hope you'll support him by at least checking out the website, you know, at least pop on over there so we can bring some attention to his work. Anyway, like he's saying here, 93, 11, 77, all numbers of the flights, all of these numbers symbolic to what you would call the schools of mystery. Am I correct, William?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's well exactly what it is. The mystery religions, and they all kind of intertwine and are influenced by each other.
Right. And that's what makes them a mystery, is that they're all got the same agenda, but they change the names, and even the people among each organization, they may not know what the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. They just do what they're told, and the people at the top pull the strings. And Crowley was the kind of guy who met and hung out with the people at the top, or maybe even
absolutely.
Yeah, because I know through my research on what they call, how much of this is true, not true. I'm basing it on second hand from John Todd through a site he's got out there. Now, John Todd talked about back in the 50s, these elite bloodlines would meet, and they would have this ritual with the Council of 13 there, and they would have the offspring of all the Illuminati children. Well, they are the offspring. So all the Illuminati children would be there at the ritual. And one of the leaders, one of the family leaders, the Collins bloodline, who is into witchcraft and probably knew Crowley, I would assume. Anyway, that lady, she was called the Druid Mother or something, and they would sacrifice actual children in place of the elite's kid. In other words, it was a symbolic sacrifice to whatever, to Satan. And that was for what they were talking about. What this particular instance I'm talking about was the birth of the Antichrist of our, the last stage during that particular meeting. Now, Crowley would have met with these people, and why? I'm trying to think about why I brought that up. There was a reason.
Well, it gets pretty dark. The thing is that Crowley himself wrote about human sacrifice. He wrote about child sacrifice as well. His book, Liber 66, and The World's Tragedy both refer to that. So. And there were also allegations that resulted in a lawsuit in 1936 between Crowley and one of his former friends about that subject, exactly. So Crowley, as an elite person, a person of wealth, did mix with people like that. I didn't quite research that much about his personal connections with the elite as much as just trying to see his general influence upon our culture and the present day, and also, about the events of 9/11. So, making that connection for me, but just kind of going back to confirm what you said, is that was a theme in his writing, and he was just a high elite Satanist as well.
Right. Okay. So these numbers, they weren't anything new when Crowley came up to him. He kind of just latched onto them, and made their religion there in the Book of Law. What was it called? Thaloma.
Or yeah, Thelema. I mean, Thelema. I think that 11 was a number that he brought upon him. He used himself. He got it pretty much from the Golden Dawn, as far as I can tell. That was there was a book
now, if he
by
got
one
it,
of the founders.
They came from what now? See, I want to give people a little bit of a background where we know it's a school of mystery, but we have a lot of new listeners, and they're not going to know all what you're talking about. Me knowing about the Golden Dawn and certain groups you're mentioning is not out of the ordinary, but the people out there, they are not going to know it. So I kind of want to give them a little background on that.
Okay.
Golden Dawn,
okay,
kind of. Go ahead, William.
Well, please, if you want to talk about the Golden Dawn, that's great. Or I can also fill in with that.
No. I want to get to you what you want, because we got me every night, and I can comment on what you talk about for the next 2 weeks.
Okay. All right. Well, the Golden Dawn basically was a magical order of the late 19th century that Crowley came to once he began his interest in the occult. It was probably one of the most elite and secret organizations, magical organizations that existed. It was comprised of a variety of people who had all passed through Masonry. So these were all ex-High Masons who went into a deeper occult tradition. They inculcated into their their actions. They would find old manuscripts and carry out magical rituals in secret. They used, like I said earlier, the Kabbalah. There were the Tarot. Pretty much, it was a whole group of pretty much all occult knowledge. And one of the books that was written by one of the founders, the founders who was William Wynne Westcott, he wrote a book called Numbers and Their Occult Power. And he talks about the number 11. He says 11 is the essence of all that is sinful, harmful, and imperfect, and that it symbolizes destruction, violence, defeat, and death. So there's the number 11, and Crowley would probably have come across all this writing in his training in the Golden Dawn. So that was really kind of his springboard into the occult world, and kind of he became a person who was very affiliated with the rituals and kind of actions of these magicians in the Golden Dawn.
Okay. I just wanted to give him a little background on that. So there are Masonic groups, and Masonry is very, very close in comparison to what would be considered witchcraft, very close. John Todd, when I've talked about him in the past, he would mention about that. That's why I brought him up. So this is the same thing. The elite doing these rituals, and what it really amounts to is witchcraft and, Satan worship and Luciferianism, and it's just really a way of life. They don't even necessarily have to believe in the devil. And him coming up, this 11, it's significant because obviously we're here in 2011, and we know how much these people like their numbers.
Indeed.
Right. So why don't we take get on to what we brought you here for, William? We're going to talk a little bit about your occult Hollywood and just, going from, early 1900s at the beginning of the Golden Dawn and all that. And we've talked about that in your book. So those of you who want a more extensive background on Crowley, early life, and really his whole life, and then the ties to 9/11, buy that book. I mean, and if, like I said, if you're too lazy to read, he's got the documentary here now, which you can see his influence on Hollywood. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. That's why we got Mr. Ramsey here, or William. I've been calling him William. I don't think you want to be called Mr. Ramsey all show, but
okay.
If you want
to,
if you, whichever you prefer, I'm the host, you're the guest, and it's like McDonald's. If I don't want to get fired, some people, I don't want to assume what you're comfortable with,
William's fine. William's fine.
All right. Yeah, because I've been calling you that right along, but this is William Ramsey, of course, author. And now filmmaker. So is this your first film?
Well, I actually have two. I have a documentary on Crowley, so if somebody isn't interested in reading the book, I've kind of compiled all the visual information that I had regarding Crowley and put it into a movie. And it's probably going to the title of it is Prophet of Evil, and it's 90 minutes. And then I wrote a second one or put together a second one. That's Occult Hollywood. But the Prophet of Evil film, it's about an hour on Crowley and about another half an hour on the people that he influenced. So I kind of went through kind of the kind of disciples of Crowley, people like L. Ron Hubbard and Alfred Kinsey, Jimmy Page, and Led Zeppelin, just all the people at Robert Anton Wilson, and kind of gave a visual primer on how the symbols that were familiar to Crowley and the high elite occultists of like Crowley, and how it suffuses our modern culture. So it has a little bit of a broader intent than my book. That's my documentary on Crowley. And then A Cold Hollywood basically is, it's specific to Crowley's influence upon Hollywood and how secret societies like what Crowley was involved in are in these films, how the number 11 is inculcated, how certain directors have innumerable satanic and occult references, directors such as Oliver Stone, Stanley Kubrick, Roman Polanski, people that we're all fairly familiar with. And how?
Yeah, and they're all fruitcakes, conveniently enough.
Indeed. And,
I'm just saying, speculating, you know, Roman Polanski, all these people you're naming aren't exactly cream of the crop. Not somebody you want to see your daughter come home with, or your son.
No, never, never. But, you know, the ideas of Crowley suffuse a lot of their works, and these are people who are important in our culture. For example, Polanski's made all these films that are shockingly satanic and also that we're familiar with, films like Rosemary's Baby, Ninth Gate, which is its satanic allegory, which is they're commonly seen on television. And he just came out with a new movie called The Ghost Rider, which didn't get a lot of attention in the United States, but it actually just won Best Movie of the Year in Europe. So it's basically their equivalent, European equivalent of the Oscars. The Ghost Rider won, and there's incredible references to the number 11, to kind of CIA, and you know, a lot of suppressed information. And it's a very important film, The Ghost Rider. And, you know, unfortunately, it was either suppressed or kind of ignored by Americans. But, you know, my point is that these people have these Luciferian or Crowley, you know, Crowley-influenced works. And, you know, for me, it was like I watched them and never understood them. And it was only within the last 5 years or, you know, since I've been researching the occult that I actually could see and interpret what the deeper meanings of what they were getting across to people who had been inducted into secret societies. You could understand their symbols and you know, some of their you know, occult references.
Okay. Well, now, do you think obviously he influenced them and they keyed in on that. Do you think they're really into it, or do you think they're just trying to sell it? It's like,
well,
even in the go ahead.
That's an excellent point. I think that they're very aware of it, and they do use it. Like, for example, Oliver Stone, in his film The World Trade Center about the 9/11 event, he repeatedly uses and signals the number 93 before the destruction of the towers. And he doesn't, because they don't explain it to the audience, it's to me, it's a secret use of the signal, so he's probably familiar with it. Also, in Natural Born Killers, he uses the number 77. And 66 in the intro, so he's putting these out there in the doors. There's this death and devil figure, and he also uses this Prometheus figure. Prometheus is a known symbol among the occult of the devil, this kind of titan who brings knowledge to the people. And Prometheus imagery suffuses a lot of these films, but in particular, you know, these are the Oliver Stone. So I think that he's actually very familiar with these occult references, and because he's not explaining them in general to the public, I think he's using these as kind of inside signals to fellow occultists. And I think that's
okay.
The same for Stanley Kubrick and Polanski.
All right. So you think they're, you're speculating, of course, no way of proving it, but your assumption is they're in on it. They're in on the whole undermining of society. They're part of the elite. New World Order.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's more of that arm of the cultural arm of that New World Order, you know, not the political one that we talk about or people
right.
Seem to talk about more frequently. But there's also a cultural and, this kind of the visual arts are very important. A lot of people think they're watching entertainment. A lot of times they're being put in front of these images and these ideas that are actually New World Order based, you know, or people who are interested in creating a New World Order.
Right. Well, I mean, it makes you acceptable or open to that train of thought, you know, the more you're beat with these different, you know, like even, you know, I could say back in the day Ozzy Osbourne was harmless, but maybe he wasn't back, in, you know, even now he might not be. I still would listen to him just because I'm that kind of guy. I'm a hard rock and roll guy, but Ozzy there, you know, looking back, he was influenced by Crowley because he wrote a song about him. And,
correct.
And, you know, he's just one more of them. Now, this is it. They have their different arms. They've got that entertainment arm, and it seems like Crowley had quite a tie to that part. And then you've got the aristocrats who don't really do anything other than be rich. He sort of had a, you know, rubbed elbows with them a lot. And then you got, like, your media arm, your corporate arm, and your military arm. They got different little, they're quite well-armed. The New World Order, they come from a lot of different directions, and this is just one of them. So we're focusing on that tonight, the Hollywood, you know, that direction, the media, what you see on TV every day, what you see in the movies, what you, you know, see at the theme park. These things are all over the place, so maybe William Ramsey can help us identify what, you know, we're obviously looking for 1177s, 93s. Maybe you can point out some of the movies where these numbers are in. I think you mentioned a little bit about that, but in particular, where are some 93s?
Well, for example, I talked about the 93 use in Oliver Stone's World Trade Center. Also in Kubrick, who seemed to me was very knowledgeable about the mystery schools. In his Strangelove, he puts a 93 reference in that, and that's okay. In the documentary, so you can see that. Also in His Eyes Wide Shut, which is which is his attempt, I think, to reveal the mystery schools. Basically, a lot of people are familiar with it, but just to let you know, it's basically about a guy who comes across a secret society who engages in strange rituals in an elite, you know, building at night, and everybody's dressed up in kind of magical garb. And the lead character, who's played by Tom Cruise, comes into this building without permission, and there's basically 11 consorts there, so there's the number 11 again. He gets caught in this building, and he has to come before a kind of tribunal. Well, the head of the whole organization is sitting on a Masonic double-headed eagle chair. So here's the masonry, this kind of symbol of the double-headed eagle. So you see this kind of 93, not a 93, but the magical reference is there. And then other 93... I mean, that's just kind of a thing for like Kubrick's dark thing. But another 93 is In Angel Heart, which is a film very dark film that was, gosh, what was the lead actor? His name is Mickey Rourke.
The Cosby Kid's daughter was in that.
Who's that?
The Cosby daughter.
Right.
She was the girl in it. I don't remember the guy, the actor. But
yeah,
I remember
Mickey
her
Rourke,
being
Mickey Rourke.
Yeah,
and then They Live, which is what people are familiar with, which is a movie about a guy who finds these glasses and it changes his view of the world. There's a 93 in that as well, and I have that in my film. So
I'm catching up with you now, William. I'm here looking at it right on your material. So. Yeah, we're at that right now.
Just trying to answer your specific question regarding the 93.
All right. Well, you did do that. I knew that you had mentioned it. I just Angel Heart, I'm seeing that. They Live, yep. So, as you can see, these numbers are all over the place. And these movies, I know for sure Angel Heart came out before 93. I'm pretty sure it did.
It came out before 9/11, that's for sure. I don't remember the exact date of the
right. And this is what they do, don't they? That's part of their little game. You'll see this stuff on movies, and you'll think, you know, be a lot of symbolism and whatever, and then it'll happen, something very similar will happen in real life.
Yeah, it was 1987 is when Angel Heart came out.
Okay.
So quite a long time ago.
You're used to doing a lot more research than I am, William, writing books and all, you know, but I do my research. It's just that mine's on a daily basis, so I don't have the depth that you might have on some of this stuff. But I'm you're definitely right up my alley talking about this. I'm you know, the other guys kind of on Freedomizer kind of dabble in this, and they've been getting into it a little bit. But I'm glad we put it out there. That way the people realize that it's more than just something you can vote out of office. It's more than something you can prepare for, because there, I mean, whether you out there believe in God or you don't, they do. They do believe in it, and they're on the other side, and they, you know, for whatever reason, believe they're going to win the game. And, you know, they're coming, and they've been coming.
Well said.
You know.
True. Well said.
Well, I mean, that's what it amounts to, and they're coming from all directions. They've been planning on it. See, we didn't know. None of us knew growing up in the 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever. You know, America was pretty much a great place. We couldn't see the forest from the trees or whatever. We couldn't see outside of America. We heard about wars and things going on and economies crashing and bad things happening, but not really to us. You know, you have occasional this and that going down here, but generally we don't have to deal with it in America. 9/11 brought an awareness with it, which is good, but we're behind the curve here. They've been working on it for, you know, Aleister Crowley. He was, you know, in his prime in what, 1910? So, they've been working on it a long time. I mean, you know, and he got the ideas from, Luciferian groups and schools of mystery and so on. So he had his own additions to it, like the 11, like you're saying about the 11. But these other numbers have, you know, they've been there all along. And you're talking Kabbalah, which is about as ancient as a religion.
Yes, indeed.
So, Absolutely. Yeah, they've been working on this forever. And us catching up with it here in 2011, we're a little bit behind, you know, we're not on the ball. And they've got the doing that for a long time.
They seem to have the initiative, too. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that they'll always have that. They're looking to get that. What do you know about the Georgia Guidestones? I don't know if I asked you about that before.
Well, that's the same kind of thing. I mean, clearly this is something that's influenced by the mystery religions. The person who put it together was, you know, called himself R.C. Christian or Rosicrucian. So that right there is something. And actually, the Golden Dawn, which was Crowley's magical order, was influenced by Rosicrucian ideas. So the Rosicrucianism is basically a nod to the mystery schools. And the Georgia Guidestones have, you know, are set up. My understanding is that they're set up with astrotheological meaning, and you know, that just the fact that they want to keep the population at 500 million should,
be pretty alarming.
Yeah, should be alarming when there's 6 or 7 billion people on the earth. So,
right.
You know,
well, we actually had a little, well, I didn't do it, but I was kind of part of getting it going. One of these other alternative radio stations did a protest at the Georgia Guidestones. You'd think it'd get more attention. There was probably, I don't know, 100 people there, and they worked on it for a while. So people don't want to hear this stuff, William. When you put it across like you do, then it becomes entertainment, and you can sneak in a little bit of information, which is, or a lot of information, You know, because they're not – you got to treat them the way the elite are treating them, kind of sneak it in, you know, like, hey, watch this movie. We want you to see this and this. But now we'll show them what, you know, they're really feeding you, and you'll be more aware of it, hopefully.
Right. I mean, I think, you know, I just try to put the information out there. I'm definitely putting it together the way, you know, I see it and distilling these symbols that I see throughout Hollywood. And just kind of what it does for me is just kind of reiterate the general theme that I'm trying to put across to people, is that a lot of events and a lot of films and a lot of their culture are influenced by the mystery schools. And, you know, oftentimes, at least for me growing up, I didn't see it. But now I kind of see it in a different angle, particularly when political events are influenced by these numerical markers. And, you know, it's pretty – these are portentous events in time. So,
yeah, so I mean, you're on board with this, right? This is happening. You're not one of these people who are – this is something that's – you know is going on. So when you're writing, you're almost like it's probably flying off the pen. Not that I don't know if you write, type, whatever, but you get where I'm coming from. The information probably just pours out of you when it comes to this topic. And when you're out there looking for this stuff, I bet it just jumps out at you since you're so familiar with the different numbers and symbols.
Yeah, I totally agree. And kind of that's why I put it together, is I kept seeing them in all these different areas. Once I understood the importance of 93, 77, and 11, and, you know, kept seeing them through films and then the event of 9/11, once I put it together, then I understood that there's a whole different secret agenda taking place, and all this stuff is happening sub rosa. And these are signals between people of the same mind, you know, so... it's important for Christians and people who are not in the occult to understand this. And I'm putting this information out so, you know, those with ears to hear and eyes to see can see it. And
well,
not everybody has those ears to hear and eyes to see, unfortunately.
Well, they're kind of like the monkeys there. You ever see them? The see no evil, speak no evil?
Yes.
Yeah, you've seen them, right? Yeah, reminds me of the people out there that just won't hear it. They don't want to hear it. Life is better if they don't hear, see, and feel what's wrong around them. Life, you know, if they just close their eyes and ears and not, you know, just count, you know, whatever, count or something, everything will go away. And that's not what's going to happen. It's going to be a rude awakening, which is part of why I named the show The Rude Awakening, because that's what it is going to be for a lot of people. The people that come into these shows or make light of what's going on, there's perfectly rational people out there that see what a guy like me is seeing, for instance. So, like, someone like you had... legitimacy to what we talk about, because you're an educated guy, you walk a straight line, you're not all far out there, you're not talking like a conspiracy theorist. You get facts from, you know, history, and, you know, you can see the ties from Crowley to today's music and films. So you're putting that out there. That's your little fight against the New World Order. And I hope you keep bringing this stuff to us, William. We appreciate you being on the air with us for sure on Freedomizer. I know, it was a surprise to Proof, but I've been letting people, everyone else knew but him, apparently. But I've been hyping it up for, you know, as soon as I knew that you would come on with me again, I've been talking about it. So I always look forward to having you on here because you're an easy interview. But you really are.
Thanks.
I mean, not that's not a bad thing. It's just that I don't have to do too much talking.
Great. Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate being back on the show.
Well, I appreciate having you. I'm on for 2 hours. You can stay as long as you want, William. Last time it was 2 hours. This time it can be an hour, or you can bail whenever you want. You can stay as long as you want. If you got a whole bunch of material you want to get out there, we can talk about it. Otherwise, this was, you know, good introduction to you and what your work's about, and they can check it out for themselves through your, you know, site, occult911.com. Anyway, we'll take a little break here, William. You decide where you want to head in the next hour and 20. If you want to stick around, cool. Love having
you. I'm game for as long as you want. I mean, I'm comfortable.
I want you every night. You can be my co-host.
Okay.
All right, these guys are used to me. You're not. Anyway, William, I want you as often as you would like to be on. If you wanted to come around every 3 months, you know the door's wide open. Of course, I'll contact you when I think you haven't been around often enough. And, you know, because anytime I think of your work or your page or your show or whatever, I'm popping around on my own little web page. If I, you know, I see your link, I try to share it. I share it on Facebook. I share the show on Twitter tonight. Things like that. You know, if we get a couple people to buy your material up so you can make more for us, then that's the idea right there. That's the idea behind it. I know you do it because you feel driven to do it, number one, and because you have the talent to put it across like that, number two. So, I want this stuff to keep coming. I want more material out of you, William. So let's put the seatbelts on. We've got Mr. Ramsey here for the next hour and 20. We're going to take a short break and we'll be right back. William, grab a glass of Coke or whatever. We'll be right back after a short break.
All right.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Charlie Veach on Freedomizer Radio.
And it's good to make the connection with you, Travis, at Freedomizer. And I hear big station. You're one of the biggest kind of alternative resistance radio shows. So it's an honor to be on. You don't have to thank me. I enjoy spouting my extreme propaganda over the airwaves to all these innocent, malleable minds out there.
Be sure to catch me, Val Villano, right here on Freedomizer Radio, Thursday night, 9 to 10 Pacific, open discussion, and Saturday, the next 4 to 6 p.m. after the Sabbath show. We're tying all New World Order to biblical prophecy. Truth is absolute and only found in the pages of the Holy Bible. Let's explore.
Feeling the effects of all that GMO food? Has TV left you completely disconnected from the rest of man? Do you have any control over your life or that of your family? Want to know how to escape the matrix? Then join me, Nikki, and together we can rise above dehumanization. Only on Freedomizer Radio. And you can catch me Monday and Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Central, that's noon Pacific time, and Saturdays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central, and 1 p.m. on the West Coast. Hope to see you there, Freedomizers.
Welcome to Armed with Fire.
It's your boy Johnny
and Karen, Army Girl. We are your host.
Join Karen and Johnny on Armed with Iron on Tuesday on Freedomizer Radio, 9 p.m. Pacific Time, 10 p.m. Mountain Time, 11 p.m. Central Time, and midnight on the East Coast.
Right after Proof Negative.
Hi folks, CT here. I want to talk to you about a great preparedness resource, tomorrowsharvest.com. Whether it's an economic collapse or nature's fury, there's no feeling more secure than knowing that your loved ones will be well fed. If it's time to bug out or just camping with the family, Tomorrow's Harvest offers high quality, cost effective, and long term smart food storage. Get your free sample. The choices are great. From blueberry pancakes to cowboy chili, no one else has the meal variety of Tomorrow's Harvest. They also provide other survival necessities. Check out the various packages and customize your meal supply. Remember, there's no reason for fear today when you prepared with Tomorrow's Harvest. Go to www.tomorrowsharvest.com and tell them you're a freedomizer.
All right, we're back with William Ramsey, author of Prophet of Evil, Aleister Crowley, 9/11 and the New World Order, and the Occult Hollywood documentary, along with another documentary I did not know you had, William, so you've been busy doing that. You probably had it the whole time, I just wasn't aware.
Well, that's all right.
Yeah, I've been bragging about you being an author, and now you're an author and a filmmaker, so your resume just got a lot better. On my resume, I'm only kidding.
It's okay. I just had some time to put it together, and you know, it was easy once I had all the research for the book to kind of put a documentary. Putting a documentary together on an iMac is a little. It's a lot for me. It was it wasn't too hard. I didn't have to redo my research or anything, so I just figured I'd put together something more visual for people if they're interested.
A little bit different. I mean, obviously it was different, but did you find you were pretty good behind the camera? Is that something you think you'll be doing more of?
Well, it wasn't really hand-holding camera. It was basically my film was based upon pictures that I had already had of Crowley and other people. So I really didn't go out and really film much of anything. It's more of like kind of like the director who did the Civil War documentary where he had the still pictures.
Right.
My documentary did not have – there's a few live actions. I just kind of wanted to reiterate the influence of Crowley in the common culture. And so, you know, I took a couple still pictures. I took things regarding, you know, L. Ron Hubbard and Timothy Leary, people who were disciples of Crowley. So, you know, there wasn't too much, me going out and going to sites or anything like that. It's really more of a educational / documentary style.
All right. Well, fair enough. I mean, it's more than what I'm doing. I just get to interview people like you. I don't know what don't have that kind of talent. First off, I can't even get a good commercial going here. So I just come on and do my thing here. It seems to work for whatever that's worth. But I wish I had that kind of, talent for writing or talent to put together a documentary. Even if it was easy for you, if everybody could do it, I guess we'd all be making them. So, you definitely put your time in. And, you know, ton of information on every show that you've been on with me, you provided me with. I mean, I still have the original, all that Aleister Crowley material you gave me for the first show. I did not have time to print all this out. I don't know if there's more in the menu or is this just an outline here before when you are promoting the book there, the Prophet of Evil. Man, I have like a big, and I'll admit that some shows that I'll reference that material, your material, of course I'll mention you too. Yeah, I like to. It's not only promoting you, it's promoting me. So I do it for selfish reasons. Because I'm like that. I'm a dirtbag. But that's why they have me in the nighttime, William.
I'm glad to be here, man.
Yeah, I'm only kidding around. So where do you want to go from here? What do you got coming up? You've got the documentary out. You got the book. You're waiting for people to hit up your site. What would you like to do down the road? What ideas have you been kicking around?
Well, I'm working on the book that some of the information that I extracted from my first one, which I didn't include, which is kind of like dealing with the disciples of Crowley. I'm going to try to put together another book based on all the people who were influenced by Crowley after 1947, which was the date of Crowley's death. So he left not just a kind of intellectual legacy, but he left a lot of connections. He was actually connected to a wide variety of people, who had an influence upon the late 20th century, and I would just like to show all those connections of people who clearly had a very close tie, like L. Ron Hubbard, who started the Church of Scientology. If you go look at the Church of Scientology's chief symbol, it's basically the Golden Dawn Cross. They have it on top of their buildings in St. Petersburg, Florida, and in Los Angeles, California. So you have this symbol of the mystery schools right there in this very deceitful, very evil mind control organization called Scientology, founded by a follower and a known follower of Aleister Crowley. And then you also have kind of people like Timothy Leary, who were influenced by Crowley, these rock bands. You have Crowley references in the Beatles and, Oliver Stone, all these other filmmakers that we, you know, kind of discussed. So, you know, there's a lot of influences there. And then the events of 9/11. So, you know, I was going to try to put that together in my second book. So that's, you know, if I can find the time, which, you know, is a little difficult. But, you know, what I'd like to do is just kind of discuss the rest of the occult Hollywood film that I wrote, that I put together, and just kind of show the influence there. You know, there basically are people who are still kind of around. I mean, direct connection from Aleister Crowley to the modern age. This person who passed away in 1947, one of his associates was a person by the name of Gerald York, and one of his friends is a person by the name of Kenneth Anger. Well, Kenneth Anger wrote a book called Lucifer Rising, and the music was done by Bobby Bousoulet, who is a Charles Manson associate, who went to jail for a killing while he was in the family, in the Charles Manson family. And so you see this, I mean, these are personal connections. These aren't like 7 degrees of separation. This goes directly from, you know, Crowley to York to Anger to Bousoulet, which I think is, you know, pretty amazing, considering that Charles Manson is such a important figure in, you know, the late 60s and just in our common culture. This Manson family, which I argue is, you know, basically a satanic type of mind control group, and how much they've influenced our culture.
No doubt about that. They infiltrated every facet of our life at this point, and us being out here fighting it at this point is just, I mean, sometimes it gets a little overwhelming.
Yeah,
when you know as
deep.
Much.
I mean,
go ahead.
It gets even weirder. Here's this Kenneth Anger, an associate. So it goes from Crowley to his follower, Gerald York, to Kenneth Anger, whose patron of Kenneth Anger is Sir Paul Getty of the Getty family, the super rich elitist who was an associate of Kenneth Anger, who, and Kenneth Anger basically said, you know, Paul Getty would fly him around the world first class. Well, here you have this arch Satanist who also hung out with Alfred Kinsey, the writer of these bogus, you know, supposedly scientific sex manuals, you know, about, what people engage in, who was also a Crowleyite. And, you know, there's the influence of Alfred Kinsey. But another interesting thing about Kenneth Anger is that he's connected to Mark David Chapman. Before John Lennon was shot, Mark David Chapman came up to Kenneth Anger and handed him bullets and said, "These are for John Lennon." So John Lennon ended up getting shot by this kind of mind-controlled assassin after meeting Kenneth Anger, another arch-Satanist. And these guys are all into hypnotism and mind control. Actually, mind control is actually a handmaiden to most occult practice. Whenever you see mind control, there's usually somebody out there who is, into the mystery religions. They use that that kind of magician ship. And I know that L. Ron Hubbard used hypnotism all the time. He hypnotized all his followers as well. Anyway, but Kenneth Anger is a very important figure, and his connections to Charles Manson and Mark David Chapman and John Lennon are irrefutable. Especially, and also with Mick Jagger, who he tried to get involved in his movie Lucifer Rising. So, and he's also a friend of Jimmy Page. So you have all of these figures who we all know who are associated with this guy with direct ties to Crowley.
Yeah, no doubt about
it. This is amazing. These are facts that, you know, most of the public does not know. And you know, these are incredible, considering that Crowley is this arch, you know, magus, this person who considered himself like the right hand man of the devil.
Yeah, you know, all of these people do, though. I mean,
right.
To be fair, all these narcissistic, you know, musicians and actors and film, well, not you, but other filmmakers, you know, they're all kind of like that. They all got that air of I'm better than you type deal out there. And, you know, obviously it's something they all have in common. They all feel they're gods,
right.
And that's Luciferianism, and that's even what
Absolutely.
Scientology is it not? They
yes.
have like a little, not that you know anything about Scientology, you probably know it enough about it, how they have their little chart, and if your life reaches a certain number on the chart, then you've hit utopia or something, like you have to do certain things, and I don't know. It's just a real weird...
Well, no, it's interesting. You're making an excellent point, because Scientology, when L. Ron Hubbard put it together, it's clear that he borrowed from the mystery religions in these grades, and he would send the grades. But what L. Ron Hubbard did was, you know, make people pay for it. So to ascend the grades to greater knowledge, you had to, you know, pay a certain amount of money, and then he inculcated kind of mind control techniques in there too, to actually have people program themselves. I mean, it's very sinister and very evil, but it's amazing. And you can see the symbolism in the outside, even on the outside of Scientology. He included triangles and pyramids.
That was another thing. I've always thought something weird about that. You know how the unholy trinity, I always think of that gay triangle, you know, that pink one that was going around. You'd see it all over the place for a while. I always thought it was some kind of, I don't know, I don't want to tie that in, but it just seemed, for me...
Well, no, that's a good point. There was a person who was very involved in kind of the homosexual movement. His name was Harry Hay, I think, and he was
Harry
a follower
Hay.
Of Crowley.
Appropriate.
Yeah, his name. Right. He was a follower of Crowley. He was actually the person responsible for making the rainbow a part of the kind of homosexual symbology. And he, and the rainbow, apparently in the occult, it symbolizes the astrological zodiac. And so there's an occult tie there too, which is even. I mean, it's so pervasive and so weird. These symbolisms,
right?
And
the rainbow, don't you want your old life back, William?
Pardon me? Yeah.
Don't you want your old life back?
I mean, these are things I didn't know. These are things I didn't know anything about 5 years ago. You know, so for me, I'm learning it all. But that's why you have a band like Black Sabbath. When it's in its next incarnation, it was called Rainbow, because this rainbow is a symbol of these occult symbols. And there's also like a story. Constance Cumby, I think, wrote a book about the Rainbow Bridge, and it symbolizes the Rainbow Bridge to Lucifer. I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah, it goes on, and it's just all, I mean, you can see the I always thought that the musicians, they just kind of, they're sellouts, you know, they're trying to make, I always looked at it the other way. Like, I felt like they went looking for this stuff, like, all right, what's, you know, what can shock the world? I'll be Black Sabbath. That should freak everybody out, which it did, and it worked. You know, but you're saying kind of they were already kind of indoctrinated into it, and that, you know, that's probably how they got popular. Like, hey, look, put this in, you know, name your band this, or put this in your lyrics, and you know, we'll make you a star.
Well, there's a much more sinister story about Black Sabbath's past that I'm going to put in my book. But, you know, they talk about entities like demons and, you know, influencing them. They talk about You know, Ozzy Osbourne is the reference to Oz. Oz symbolizes 77. So, you know, his real name is John or something, but they call him Ozzy. Well, Oz has a very deep occult meaning. And Osbourne knows a lot about the occult. I'll just leave it at that. He's a professed blood drinker. There's a Kerrang article where he talks about drinking blood. So, that, you know, people have this kind of circus cartoonish element about the impression they get from Ozzy Osbourne, but there's a much deeper, much
right.
more occult foundation there.
Well, I mean, when he was popular back in the day, nobody wanted you to listen to that. You're you know, but it's like today, you see your kids listening to whatever, you're like a little bit concerned about it, but then you think back of when you listen to Ozzy, and then you really want to get your kids in the house not listening to whatever they're listening to now that you know better. But, yeah, Ozzy is no nice guy.
No.
He's definitely not a nice guy. He's definitely preaching what he practicing what he preaches.
Yeah, and there's much darker. In my film about Crowley, where I kind of make a tie between Ozzy Osbourne and Crowley, there's a one of his tours, he does the Ozzy tour or whatever, they had a shirt, and there's like some kind of demon with some kind of shirt on, but on the shirt is the number 11 in Roman numerals, so a very prevalent, prominent 11, so he knows
Weird.
A lot more about the occult tradition than, you know, he's putting across to the public.
Well, a lot of times I think they latch on to that stuff, but in the case of Ozzy, I think he was just a dark person to begin with. But like a guy like Jay-Z, that would be, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with him. You must be, unless you live
yeah.
on the moon. Jay-Z,
right.
Now he sings about the Illuminati and whatever. And I feel like it's not that he's a part of the Illuminati. He just picked up, oh, they're listening to this. I got to get on that and make a dollar. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I mean, I actually incorporated him into my first film, the one about Crowley, because I have him as an influence. He was. I have a picture of him wearing a shirt that says, "Do what thou wilt." So this is one of Crowley's famous statements. "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law," which,
weird.
By the way, is an 11-letter statement and 11 syllables. So there's the 11 again. "Do what thou wilt shall be the whole of the law." It's Crowley's idea of freedom, and there's Jay-Z, I mean, set apart from Crowley by 50 years, wearing a shirt with the same thing. He also makes magical symbols on stage. He makes the same postures that Crowley made in the Equinox, something that
right.
Jimmy Page used to do as well.
Right.
And I have a connection between him. You know, his wife is Beyonce, like one of the most popular artists in the world, and they had a party at this gay club in West Hollywood. What's the name of the club? 11.
Huh?
The name of the club in West Hollywood where they had, like, I think her 22nd birthday, is the name of the club is 11.
That's weird. You know, it's just too weird how it's all, like, tied in, like, just all of it. The corruption of society, the politics, global warming, the UFOs, stuff like the occult. It's all like intertwined, and it just keeps
yeah.
Morphing and moving. And if you don't, you know, you don't pay attention for a minute, it's around behind you, taking some
yeah,
other
form. I'm
not
form. Making any of this stuff up either. You know, this is all factually based research, and you can see the evidence in both of my documentaries or my book.
Well, he ain't kidding about that. I mean, I already was interested in Crowley before I ever even bumped into you, William. Once you unleashed your work on my show there, I mean, you know, there's just so much more I didn't know about the guy. And William Ramsey is definitely, our friend here, William, has done his homework and put a lot, yeah, like he's saying, you know, go check out his site, occult911.com. Of course, if you go to any of my sites, you will see the link there. It's been there for months. Will remain as long as I'm kicking around. Because, hey, you know, you're always, no matter what happens from here on out, it's a high point of my little radio career to have people like you on the show with me.
Thank
so,
you.
It really
Thank
is. I mean,
talented person, nice guy, believes in what he's talking about. When you're in the truth, anything to do with the truth, that's the kind of guy you want on your side. You know, we may, you know, we might not get along and go out and have a beer, but we might. You never know. Thing is, I try to come across as a stark figure on Freedomizer because I am the night guy, but everybody knows I'm a sap on here. So it doesn't work. You know, like if I was going to go out there trying to be like Ozzy or whatever, I don't know if I'd pull it off. I think you actually got to be that way to sell it well.
Yeah, I think he knows a lot more than what he talks about. And, you know, his you know, he talks about, like, Ozzy also does, there's another one that they play on the radio frequently called Flying High Again, which is about astral travel. So it's all about deep magic. The astral travel and basically learning about occult connections were two of the things that Crowley insisted his followers learn as they started. So astral travel was a means by which they would meditate and try to have their spirits leave their body. And so
right.
Go listen to the song Flying High Again and see what the lyrics are. And it's very deep, but because people don't know where he's deriving his information, people don't know what Crowley's actually saying and what he's really referencing. He's referencing astral travel in that song.
That's, you know, us people who did listen to Ozzy back in the day, I can tell you we weren't thinking astral travel.
Similar. Right. Most people were thinking about drugs or something. And a lot of the Satanists actually use drugs to facilitate astral travel in a variety of ways. So
I agree.
You know, there's, so.
Well, my take on drugs, since I'm such a connoisseur in the past, not now, that's what I... What you're left with now is what remains. But the thing is, I think what happens with drugs, especially the LSD, stuff like that, you gain something that other people don't normally have, but you lose something that people normally have, if you get what I'm meaning. You lose some of your normal, you lose a piece of your normal who you should be. And you gain some other part, probably some, I guess you could call it a little demon. Because once you've been out in that, you can't come back kind of deal, even if it's just once. So those of you out there, whoever, I'm not promoting drugs by any means. Never do them if you can avoid it.
Neither am I. I'm not promoting drugs anyway. But like people who were followers of Crowley, and Crowley was a massive drug user. He was a heroin user and a very severe heroin user for a lot of his life. He also experimented with peyote and marijuana and all kinds of strange stuff. But his followers advocated drug use, like Timothy Leary, and the amount of people who were wrecked by the drug culture of the 60s are legion. It's just incredible amounts of people had their, you know, brains fried, and they went crazy, and they got sick, and they just weren't the same. A lot of people, unfortunately, committed suicide. I mean, it's very ugly and dark. And
you can't even add it all up, William. You can't. You're right.
Yeah, so, and, you know, there are people who jumped. I mean, just stories of people who jumped off buildings. I mean, it just was bad, bad, bad. And these people advocated this as like, oh, this is the way to new consciousness and new growth. And, you know, none of those people really ever got smarter. I've seen a lot of people do drugs myself, and, you know, they didn't grow. There's not that much growth and personal growth. I mean, you get more growth about reading a book or listening to an interesting radio show or traveling or something like that. But, you know, this whole thing about drugs being some avenue to unleashing your genius,
well,
I think, is a bunch of hooey.
I think you may tap into something. It might be demons. Let me just say you tap into a consciousness, but you lose part of who you are. That's all I can tell you about it. You're interested in losing
Do you think drugs have any good benefit to a person?
Do I? If I had my choice, I would have never done them.
Right. Well, I think that's generally what.
So we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, I've had, you know, done some in the past. I wish I'd never done them myself as well. So
right, not even once, not even drink. I wish I never drank, never mind drugs.
Yeah,
so, you know, that for me, they talk about like marijuana being a gateway. Alcohol is what opened the door for me. It opened up all the rest of it, and then created a monster for quite a while. Luckily for me, I lived. So I'm somebody who can tell you definitely, I definitely indulged. I was down in it for a long time, been out of it for a long time. But I'm not, you know, you're never going to be the same as you should have been. So, you know, think twice, people, especially if you're young. Don't waste your whole life just to find out the same thing that everybody else before you that didn't found out. And that's, you'll either die or you'll quit wishing you were dead. So up to you,
right.
do what you want to do, but ain't worth it. Whatever you might get out of it, not worth it. Why lay around sweaty and paranoid and whatever? You know, there's just so much. Don't put yourself there. Get high off. Go jump out of a plane or something. You know, go do something less dangerous.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Overrated, for sure. Just like a lot of it's very overrated. So, yeah, I mean, I was definitely into all this. You know, because of people like Ozzy, I found out about Crowley. You know?
Tell me a little bit about what you knew or found out about Crowley.
Well, I knew pretty much what you're telling. I just knew from the words in the song. You heard he was the evilest man in the world or something. Things of that nature. And that he did blood magic and sex magic and sex with children, sex with animals. Just off, you know, just pretty much a anarchist and Satan worshiper. And, you know, that kind of leads you to, I'm not saying he led me to it, but that kind of music, like wanting to be cool and wanting to be with the in crowd listening to Ozzy, you get led to researching about Aleister Crowley from Ozzy. And from Ozzy, you hear about Manson. And from Manson, you hear about Marilyn Manson or back and forth. And you pretty much get traded back and forth between a bunch of demons. You know, so if you listen to one, you're listening to all of them kind of deal. You know, the less you can cloud up your mind with that type of music and whatever. I don't know. I just see, I don't know about you, William. For me, from my perspective, I can watch a horror movie. I can listen to music. I'm not buying into the words. And to hear some other people tell it, it's not the words, it's the notes that they play in the music.
Right. Yeah, it's weird. I mean, because I grew up on, you know, exposed to Ozzy Osbourne and Black Sabbath and stuff. And I know, you know, I listened to music, but I didn't really understand it as much as I did as I'm older, you know. But,
right.
You know, when you really understand it, then it becomes a lot darker and much more
right
level, I guess.
Now you know what your parents were pissed off about. You know?
Yeah, I think that their concerns are legit.
Well, that's pretty much it. And even today, you're hearing the kids what they listen to. Hey, it ain't we don't like your hip hop and your rap and your crunk. We like it. We don't like what they're saying, and we don't want you to end up like us. So, you know, it ain't that you aren't cool. We weren't gonna like your music anyway. Just don't do all what goes with it. And don't buy into any of it, hopefully.
Right.
Yeah, because it's all, like he's saying, even Jay-Z, and Jay-Z's an old goat now to the young kids.
Right.
To the young kids, they barely probably, you know, oh, he's a legend. They're calling Jay-Z a legend, probably. But, you know, he got his influence from Crowley. So they're all intertwined. You know, where I thought maybe it was an innocent money-making opportunity with Jay-Z, it appears he's been hip to it all along.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely hip to it. Look at Lady Gaga. If you look and watch a lot of her videos, and she's all over the place. I mean, she is a witch. She's just heavily into the occult. She uses all the eyes, the Eye of Horus, and she's making secret signs and all this other stuff. Like the peace sign actually, you know, means peace to somebody, but to an occultist it means 23. Well, 23 is a very important number to them. The reason being is 2/3 of 1 is 666. So...
Yeah, you know what? I would have never thought of that in a million years. That's, you know, that's weird. I know they're into their 3s and 13s and 3-2-2s and, well, skull and bones.
Right.
Now that's how he could tie to the New World Order today. Aleister Crowley, he bumped into a few of them or had something to do with that, didn't he, the skull and bones?
I don't know how much he had to do with Yale and Skull and Bones. I never was able to establish a connection, and my research didn't quite go that way, but he was definitely in New York, and he definitely traveled all throughout the United States and making connections and hanging out with, you know, the kind of literati and the higher-end elitists. I mean, he was an unabashed aristocrat. He was rich, so, you know, how many of those people that he associated with, I'm not sure. He definitely had kind of outposts in the United States in Los Angeles. He had some of members in, I think, Detroit, and that, you know, these little lodges and groups that they had ended wretchedly, you know, people went crazy, and, you know, everything that was associated with Crowley. A lot of the people who got associated with Crowley, you know, either killed themselves or went insane. That's kind of a common theme, but, you know, it's... there's a direct tie to Skull and Bones, but they're of the same ilk. I mean, Skull and Bones is basically a satanic society. It's no joke. I make a connection in my film, my first film, I make a connection between the sign of silence, which is a kind of a stance where the occultists put the right finger over their lips, and I just show how many people are making that sign of silence and how common it is. It's in the back of the Skull and Bones building at Yale. It's there's actually that somebody making the sign of silence at the Bohemian Grove, which is a you know, there's a statue there. So there's this constant emphasis and, you know, repeated use of this visual symbol from Crowley to Skull and Bones to Bohemian Grove to, you know, these public figures. I have Ozzy Osbourne making the sign of silence in my film. I mean, it's amazing. It's all there, and it all is connected, these same themes.
Yeah. Talking to you, William, you brought it back around for me. This part doesn't get talked about too much on a lot of these shows because, well, you know, we're already crazy enough talking politically a New World Order. When you get over on the occult, I'm talking we, the freedomizers, not you, the author. You know, people tend to think of us as a little bit off, but when I come on here, I knock it right out of the park. Definitely, what we're talking about here is way, you know, even on the, for truthers, it's out on the fringe. But
it's a spiritual event. Hey, what we're going through in the world is not merely political.
No.
I would like to make that point. It is a cultural and spiritual event.
Well, that's why I got you on here, William, because I think you can share that with the people. It's more than that. And that's the part that, you know, if they get nothing else out of my show, that's what I want them. You know, I want them to buy your book. I want them to buy your documentary or at least go to your site. I mean, you guys, couple clicks, make sure you go and head over and take a look at occult911.com, please. You look at my site. I know you do because I track each one of you. So make sure you go over there and check out occult911.com. Check it out and buy the book or check out the documentary and buy that. Not too much. You can spend your money on a lot worse things for sure and get a heads up on what's coming. It's deeper and darker and worse than you want it to be, isn't it, William?
Absolutely. I mean, once I understood the occult connections to 9/11, it was like, what else is going on? Well, there's so many other connections out there, and these secret societies and secret groups are very influential, and they're important meeting places for people who are making decisions for the rest of us. So, you know, And these films are, you know, for me, like Kubrick was trying to tell the truth about what was really happening in our society through the film Eyes Wide Shut, his last film, you know. And that film was actually very important to me in my understanding of what's happening in the world. And then right before, you know, he sent his version of that film was sent to his studio for purview, and within 4 days he was dead. And his wife said he was in good shape. He was actually healthy. They were surprised he died. And then what happened is the movie studio actually re-edited Eyes Wide Shut for the public. So the actual film that was supposed to be put forth in front of the people was not the film that Kubrick wanted to be shown. It was the film that the studio execs wanted to be shown after it was re-edited. It took 2 years to go out and come out to the public. It was put out in 1999, you know, so there's a very important story behind that story. The real film that Kubrick wanted will be and has never been seen by the public.
Wow. Yeah, and that goes on over and over again in this, whatever you want to call it. I don't even know what, you know, movement, resistance, whatever. Anybody who comes out here and makes enough noise, you know, you're going out on a limb. Because you're not, you know, I think people, I think they don't get that you're dealing with the elite on the planet. Now, you know, that you don't even want to mess with the sheriff down the street, never mind the guys who would tell, you know, you could make him jump through hoops.
Right.
You know, these people can crush you. And when you get to a point where you make that much noise, bad things happen to you. You end up in, you know, go ahead, William.
Well, I was just going to say, it goes into what makes an elite, you know? Why are they there? Why are these people on top? What makes them different? You know, and a lot of it is like you can kind of see the same kind of attitude that Crowley had towards people as the elite in general have towards people. They think they're special like Crowley. They think the slave shall serve like Crowley. They have no problem, you know, having people at their beck and call. So the same kind of attitude of sadness pervades a lot of what makes a person an elitist, you know. It's basically the pyramid. I'm going to be on the top, and you're all going to be on the bottom supporting me. So, you know, it goes into, I mean, it's a larger sociological issue. So an elite actually to stay on top and make people serve, and what does he do to everybody else? Well, he makes them not get enough proper food. He poisons their mind. They debase the public through all kinds of means, through low culture, pornography, drugs, etc.
Right.
And that keeps them on top. And that's kind of like what you see. Like when I read 1984 after understanding the occult, I see without a doubt that, I mean, a doubt in my mind, I should say, that Eric Blair or George Orwell had an understanding of Crowley. He puts the 93 right in there in the first three pages. He says the ninth third degree, third year program right there. The 93 is right there. And he was friends with, oh gosh, it goes, Gerald York, who when I first started this interview was friends of Kenneth Anger. Well, Gerald York's brother was friends with none other than Eric Blair, who is George Orwell. So there's a direct correlation between George Orwell, Gerald York's brother, and Gerald York. And George Orwell apparently had read Crowley when he was younger. And who was George Orwell's French teacher? It was none other than Aldous Huxley, the writer of Brave New World.
Weird.
Yeah, I mean, these connections are factual. They're all true. Anyway,
they
so,
probably had sex.
Yeah, who knows? But
basically, who knows? They like
if you
that
go
thing.
Back to George, if you go back to George Orwell, in his book 1984, it starts out, what are the Ministry of Truth, Ministry of Love? They're all pyramids. They're all pyramid-shaped buildings. So you have this occult mentality. Anyway, getting back to the elite, the 1984 is basically about the inner party and the outer people. And so you have, it's basically an elite structure. And, you know, how did the elite stay in control there? They basically gave people lousy food. They scared the crap out of them. They had this fake guy named Goldstein. Our new Goldstein is Osama bin Laden, who's a total fake. He's been dead since at least 2001. And we're basically living out this kind of view that this kind of semi-prophet George Orwell wrote, you know, back in 19, when did he publish it, 1949 or something? So,
right. Yeah, it was
it's
way
amazing
back.
When you look at it through the lens of the cult and what these guys are really saying. Now, the people who analyzed 1984 never looked at it through that lens of what's the occult meaning here. And so they saw it as merely a political thing. But to me, there's also a spiritual element of that. And what's the room that they go into for re-education? It's 101, 101.
Right, yeah.
I mean, is that an 11? I mean, I don't know. But it certainly has two ones on it. So, I mean, it's all there.
That's part of the symbology, no doubt. You know what? Every time you mention something else, it's just down the rabbit hole we go, William. I hope you brought back to lunch.
Yeah, well said, man. I mean, I just feel like when I read all this and see all this stuff, it's just I'm being hurtled by the rabbit hole. Look at the 2001. Here's another Stanley Kubrick. You have this monolith, right? This monolith in 2001. Well, who wrote 2001 with Stanley Kubrick? Arthur C. Clarke, right? So they both got together, and Arthur C. Clarke wrote a book. Stanley Kubrick made a movie. What happened in 2001? This huge event, the 9/11 event, right? These two things it's totally occult. The occult building, the building itself, at the Rockefeller buildings are a giant 11. There's a statue in the middle of these two buildings of a circle, the great bronze caryatid, right? Do you remember that bronze circle in the center?
Well, go
back and look at the pictures. Go back and look at the pictures of the buildings. Basically, they had this statue called the great bronze caryatid. What it did is symbolized the coming together of all nations through world trade. This is like one of the great New World Order agendas was to end around national sovereignty by putting together trade-based agreements that would erode the idea of nation-states to attain the great One World Order, remember? That's always there is the New World Order, the One World Order. Well, the Rockefeller buildings were created as the symbol of that attainment by none other than the WTC, I should say, not the Rockefeller buildings. Excuse me, I'm getting a little tired. Anyway, the Great Bronze Caryatid. Well, it's not a caryatid. A caryatid is what is in a temple, but they put the name of this caryatid on there just to symbolize that the WTCs were a temple. And then you had this great sacrifice in 2001. So here's where it gets really weird. You have the 2001 event, the 2001 movie. Well, guess what's across the street from the WTC site that they put up on the Hilton? Something called the Millennium Hotel. It's a huge black monolith, just like out of 2001.
Weird.
You can see that in my movie.
So you guys, you know, check out William's movies, William Ramsey, occult911.com. Buy his book, check out the movie. Get more of what, as you can see, he never runs out of information, and he's done his homework, and this is great stuff. A challenge to have William Ramsey on the show, because I a lot of times I got to push a guest, and I'm so used to having to carry him along, but you, William, I have to pipe my own self down, so... I'm guilty of that
going.
Now
let's
and
keep
then.
Going down the rabbit hole. Let's keep going down the rabbit hole. It gets worse. Here's Polanski, right? Roman Polanski. He's kicked out of the country. Rosemary's Baby, a movie about Satanism, basically takes place at the Dakota Hotel where John Lennon would be killed by a mind control assassin about 2 years later. There's a scene in my film where there's a discussion between the Satanist and, you know, Rosemary about these strange magic witch people who lived in the building. They do this discussion. She has a book on witchcraft. The husband takes the book on witchcraft, puts it up on the shelf. Where does she put the book? On top of two books by known Satanists. One, Alfred Kinsey, a follower of Aleister Crowley, and Sammy Davis Jr., who is a high ranking member of the Temple of Set by Michael Aquino. So here's a pictorial reference by Roman Polanski to black magic and Satanism. And then you'd see the Ninth Gate, which is Johnny Depp, is in there. Have you ever seen the Ninth Gate?
No, I haven't, William. I'm not a big movie guy, but if you name something that's like 30 years old, I probably caught it.
Gotcha. Well, here's Ninth Gate. It came out, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago. It's basically a satanic allegorical journey. The symbolism, the satanic symbolism is all there. You have this 666s are commonly used in the film. There's the lightning striking the tree. What Luciferians believe is they kind of inverted the old account in Genesis of the tree of good and evil. They actually think that that the devil, the symbol, one of the symbols of the devil is lightning. They think that the devil struck this tree of knowledge of good and evil and gave man knowledge. And so that's kind of the Luciferian version of Genesis. And that symbol is commonly used in this film, The Ninth Gate. And like we talked about, the sign of silence or the wisdom of silence is used in this film, and like they have at Skull and Bones and at the Bohemian Club. And you can see that it all ties together. So there's the
their cremation of care once a year. That's how they get where they are, because they don't care.
They do a lot more stuff there than the creation of care. That's just one little piece of evidence that we have, but there's a lot more things going on at the Bohemian Club than the public knows. So
when you're going to break on in there?
What's that?
That's what I'm waiting for the scoop on that, William Ramsey. When you going to crash the gates at the Bohemian Grove and get us the scoop?
I don't know. We'll see what else I can come up with. But then getting back to this Polanski, like they show the symbols of the chessboard, which is an 8x8 symbolism of human intelligence. It goes back to one of the first secret society purveyors of secret society information, Pythagoras, who is an old Greek philosopher. They include the Whore of Babylon. She's riding a seven-headed beast, and that's like it symbolizes the conjunction of two sevens, the kind of beast and the Babylon coming together. That's where you get 77. So this is all included in Polanski's film, and it's all symbolized there. It's pretty amazing.
Once again, what's the name of that film? Because I think I'll watch it, even though I'll have to go rent it.
It's called The Ninth Gate. It's called
Ninth
The Ninth
Gate.
Okay. Yeah, watch it. It's just straight Luciferian from beginning to end. It's incredible that they even show it on TV. So then you have also another movie with Schwarzenegger called The End of Days, which is it's an incredible film. They include the Prometheus imagery, so you have the satanic Prometheus, but also when Schwarzenegger's character meets the devil for the first time, there's basically a devil figure. In the background is the WTC and this weird, the World Trade Center is in the background. This big 11 is in the background in 1999 before the events of 9/11, which were fully occultic and had all the 11s and 77s and 93 in them. And then in End of Days, they also put a bunch of 11s in it too. So
It's some creepy stuff, William. You're giving me that chills a little bit.
Yeah, End of Days. Watch that movie, too. Watch it. Watch it.
I have actually watched that one. It's vague, but I'm pretty sure I watched that one.
Enemy of the State. Remember Enemy of the State? That's Will Smith and Gene Hackman. There's a bunch of 11s in there. There's a 9/11 reference. Trading Places has the WTC and 11 references.
That's all ritual right there. So while they were making these films, that's part of the kind of like part of the ritual.
That's what these guys do. I also have a sequence in my film regarding the importance of who these directors are. Alan Watt, who's kind of like a commentator on kind of the high Masonic tradition and also what these guys really think at the top. There's an interesting thing he says about, you know, people who are putting predictive programming into these types of films. You know, basically they are setting the agenda, but they're also educating you and signaling to each other through these films, you know. So these directors are very influential. They have influenced more people today than, you know, any professor would at a college, you know. Because they're reaching millions, whereas somebody at Yale might be reaching 100 and shaping the minds of 100. These directors are shaping the minds of millions, you know.
Right. Well, we're doing better than that, William Ramsey. Just to give you a heads up, that we almost had that in the chat room tonight, which is not an indicator of how many actually listen. So you're going to be in the hundreds tonight, not just a plain old hundred like on old Knuckle Bones Radio. We should do pretty good. So,
Good.
Hopefully we'll get some, one of you people. Remember, I'm watching all of you out there. And if you don't go to occult911.com, I'm going to be very angry with you. not that works with these guys. But I've been put, William Ramsey, whether you're here with me on the show or not, I mention you often, your links on our website. Hope you don't mind. It's on there. You know, any guests I have is. You're a big one. You're one of my favorites. And I look forward to having you on again in a few months.
Great. I'd love to be back.
Yeah, we're down to the last, like, 25 minutes. And even if this is too late for you, we have hosts all day long. I don't know if Alphabet got back in touch with you or not, but, whether they do or whether they don't, if you want to get on here earlier, you'll get on here earlier. I'll put in the word for you, and we'll get it done. Because I know,
right,
because
why don't we do this? Let's take a break, and then we'll go over the films that were suppressed in the United States, and then that'll close it out.
Sounds awesome. All right, guys, we got 25 minutes left here with William Ramsey, and it's been going along just like I thought it would, awesomely. Hopefully, we'll get him on a little bit earlier on maybe on Joanne's program. Plus, Joanne's a lot nicer. So who knows what will happen there? Love on BTR again? No, just kidding around. Anyway, we'll be right back after a short break. We have callers calling in. We'll get to you after the break. Short one. Be right back after Itana Mooli. I don't want to play that. We have sensitive ears, so I won't play that one. I don't think Wake Up or Die is too bad. Do it. Or you will.
Your call is important to us. Please continue to hold, and we'll be with you shortly.
Thank you for holding. How can I be of service to you today?
Yes, I have this recurring charge on my monthly statement, and I can't figure out what it's for.
Well, we'll certainly do our best to help you. What does the charge say on your statement?
Well, it's a $275 charge, and it just says Iraq War.
Yes, ma'am, that is correct. The Iraq War cost the average American family over $16,000 since the war started.
Are you kidding? Well, I never signed up for that.
I'm sorry, ma'am. You don't sign up for the Iraq War charge.
Tell me, have you enjoyed your war so far?
Standard charge for all Americans.
Have you gotten a picture of who they are?
Well, that doesn't make any sense.
Did the men in a cage knock down your tower?
Said. Scientific dictatorship straight ahead. Rise and shine, sleepyhead. It's after HLA, get out of bed. This is a bucket of water on your head. You're asleep. You might as well be dead.
Wake up. take care when a producer does.
This is a dangerous
game. Fuck the war in the east, there's a war in our heads. We're at war without fence, wiretaps on our phones. Blood on our hands, we can never wash clean. We're dealing with a dangerous group of human men. So place your mind if I sit back or slide. I see cameras in the sky, so I don't trust anyway. Shattered dreams are where nightmares come from. And I can show you how and who to run from. And I can show you things that I only see in dreams. When at times it seems as we'll split down the scenes. Divided over issues never meant to debate. They were thrown in your face or in a lace with your face. Try to fool your mind, but it only wants to race. And history is defined by events taking place. The events taking place have left us all in disgrace. Watch your hands, wipe your face, sit down and say. American citizens for innocent countries.
DJ Joshua, my next confirmed guest, could have one in between then and now, you never know. Jaja also supposed to show up on the 22nd, we'll see how that goes. They may be surrounded by musicians on the 22nd. I definitely have DJ Joshua and Ninja Scroll. I put the link in the chat room if you'd like to check out Ninja Scroll's show. That's New World Order from the younger people. So, good show. I'm going to have, by younger, I mean, you know, younger than me, not an old goat like me. I'm going to have those guys on the show the 22nd, DJ Joshua, Ninja Scroll. You can hear him tomorrow without me on Ninja Scroll's Blog Talk Radio show. Check it out. All right, we're back with William Ramsey, and it looks like we have a caller for you, William. And caller, right. I will clobber you if you give any kind of any shenanigans. So here we go. All right, 209. I believe it's Bryn 8390. Am I right?
Man, you get it right every time, dude. How are you guys doing tonight?
I'm doing good. You've got a question for our special guest?
Well, I'm asking this question for statistical purposes. And, have you guys ever had a sexual encounter of people of the same sex?
All right. Yeah, I should have known that was... Bryn, now you don't get to come on my show anymore, buddy. Gee whiz. All right, well, there goes your fun. All right, Brian, Bryn, you know... Funny thing about Bryn, William, not 6 months ago, he was a Pentecostal Christian.
Wow.
Yeah, and I don't know what happened to the guy. He's just a wacky guy. He came on here, he disappeared for a while. When he returned, he was acting, he went from being like a fanatic, kind of religious fanatic, which is okay if you're a good religious fanatic. We have our own here at Freedomizer, like me. I'm kind of a fanatic. But, not really, though. What I'm saying is he was one of the bad kind, you know, like the bad Christian that gives the rest of them a bad name. Not like you, not like Val Valvano. But this guy here, I don't know what happened to him. He fell off. I don't know what happened. He got ran over by the backsliding wagon or something. I don't know what happened to the guy. But I feel he's young, so maybe that might have something to do with it. He's probably 20 if he's, you know, a day. So, he's not too bad, but he can be, you never know what you're going to get out of the guy. He reminds me of that guy who went berserk down in Arizona, because you never know what you're going to get out of this guy. One day he's all right, the next day he's fighting the New World Order, the next day he's Pentecostal Christian, and the next day he's a pervert. So your guess is as good as mine, William. Sorry about that. I apologize.
It's all right.
You know, it does happen, though. We're on live radio. I can't. With him, he's never really too obnoxious, so I wasn't sure if he was going to ask you something relevant or not, but I should have felt it coming when he hesitated. I should, I'm getting the hang of it. Sometimes you don't want to alienate large chunks of our small little, I let them have their own opinion, in other words, but I try not to alienate my guests, so I apologize on behalf of Freedomizer for that.
No worries. Do you have any other guests? I mean, any other callers?
I didn't see any. No, the show is yours. You got 14 minutes to let us all have whatever you got left for us, William.
Well, I guess I'd just like to go over in the remaining couple minutes of the suppressed films in the United States. Basically, a film by the name of Parallax View. It was put out in 1974. It basically is not so much of an occult film as it is a suppressed film that deals with political assassination. And the cover poster for the film basically says, "As American as apple pie," and it pertains to basically assassinating people in the United States. It's very interesting. I definitely recommend that. Warren Beatty is the chief actor. Again, it's called Parallax View, and it also has kind of an 11 theme in there that I show in my show in my film. And then there's also The Manchurian Candidate. The original Manchurian Candidate was put out in 1962. It's with Frank Sinatra in the lead, and it also deals with mind control. There's an 11 sequence in there that I put in there. It's basically about a mind control killer who tries to kill a presidential contender. One of the interesting things about the story is that the director, whose name is John Frankenheimer, he had a party in 1968, and two people of import were at that party. One was Sharon Tate, who within a few years would end up murdered in Los Angeles by the Manson family. And she was at the party with Frankenheimer and none other than Robert Kennedy. And Robert Kennedy was out there. He was out in Los Angeles. Well, the next day he went to the Ambassador Hotel to receive the nomination from the California Democratic Party, which was basically a shoo-in for him to become the presidential contender. Well, he was shot by a mind-controlled patsy by the name of Sirhan Sirhan, who can't even remember pulling the trigger on Kennedy. So you have Frankenheimer, who writes a movie about mind control. Kennedy comes to his house, has a party. The next day, he's shot by a mind-controlled assassin. It's incredible. Anyway, so that's just a film that I definitely recommend people watching again, Manchurian Candidate, the 1962 version. And then there's a remake of it that took place in 2004 with another 11 in it. It also deals with mind control and video manipulation. It's right there at the very end. It's unmistakable, and it has its own occult signals through there. I definitely recommend seeing them both back to back. You can see what I was looking at in my film. It basically deals with, this mind control issue. The original Manchurian Candidate was a suppressed. It was kept out of purview by the public for like 5 or 6 years, and this was at the height of when the CIA was kind of looking into mind control.
You know, funny you would mention that, William, just real quick to throw it in there. But last week I had somebody who claimed to be MKUltra used for the purpose of being a sex slave. And they had talked with Ted Gunderson. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not.
Yeah, I know who that is. Uh-huh.
Right. They were part of his investigations, and I had him on the show about a week ago. His name was Brett Shepard. He was part of that Franklin conspiracy or Franklin...
Franklin cover-up, right. And what did he say? What was his experience, or what did they use him for?
Well, they use him to blackmail. Some of the people used him as a sex toy, but on others, they would use these sex slaves, these MKUltra, to blackmail... people that they wanted to manipulate.
Interesting.
So, like a married senator or whatever, hook him up with whatever his dirty little secret was. They'd have him profiled, send that type of MKUltra in his path, and use it for blackmail, use it for, he talked about rituals, drinking blood, all kinds of things. Oh, yeah. So, you're just...
Can you send me that interview?
Oh, I sure can. Yep.
Yeah, email that to me. I'd definitely be interested. I don't know how do you get older interviews through Blog Talk Radio?
Well, this is what you do. We're on iTunes for one, Freedomizer and Knucklebones. You'll find yours on there, your episode on there. But here on Freedomizer, you can go right to blogtalkradio.com/Freedomizer, scroll down the page, and you'll see all the previous episodes. You can either download them or you can play them. Up to you how you do it.
I see them. I see them there. I guess I just have to go back through and look for every one of the Knucklebone shows, huh?
No. I'll do that. I'll hook you up with that. How about that? I'll get that one out while I got you on the air here. That way you'll be able to have that. I usually mark them out, though.
I'm definitely interested in that whole Franklin scandal. It's pretty amazing. I want to read the book by the new guy. He looked into it.
He pretty much just talked about his own experiences, less than the actual scandal, just what he had to deal with and some of the people he knew and what they used him for and what, pretty how legit the guy is. He sounded legit. I'll put it that way. He sounded... if it happened to anybody, it happened to him.
Right.
But you can't verify it, because it's his word against theirs. But that's how they operate.
Right.
They could be drinking the blood of your, whatever, your wife, your sister or something. They could be doing that. But if they got the dirt on you or they got something to hold over you, they can continue to do that. These people were brought up in it. Some of their own... From what I heard, some of their own parents, they bred them for that very reason, to have as sex toys to do rituals with and share with other, like-minded freaks, share their own kids for sex and make
That's
porn.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah, you coming on here, Aleister Crowley almost seems like a nice guy. They've come a long way since his day. If he had the technology they have today, who knows what we'd be dealing with. But we're definitely seeing the outcome. So, William, we've only got a handful of minutes left, like six. I keep interrupting you, I feel like. But it's a little bit different. Interviews are different. You got to kind of feel it out. You always have a lot to say. And I want to make sure you get whatever else you want to get out there before you get off the air. So
Well, I'm going to have you back, though. I want to have you back. So if that's if we're locked in on that, why don't we say like 3 months from now, we can see what's going on with you?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. I'd love to be back on the show.
All right, great.
I would just say in summary, I mean, I think that the works that I put, the books and the two documentaries that I put together, all kind of fit in together. They basically emphasize the basic theme that there is an occult current that is an undercurrent and an overcurrent that is, you know, these people are all influenced. They're all, a lot of these individuals have occult connections that the public doesn't see, and they're not really told by the mainstream media. And I try to put in these, in the work that I've done, is just try to provide the facts and evidence that shows proof that there's a whole nother level of meaning in our culture and our kind of political, you know, social sphere of our past that really just, I think, has been underemphasized. So I think that, you know, people can, and myself, I'm in a process of learning and kind of growing and trying to understand myself. I didn't know anything about Crowley or the occult 5 years ago, but as we move into an era where these themes are more prevalent, I think that people in general and Christians and people who don't agree with the New World Order should be informed about it. I don't think should be fully obsessed about it, but at least they should be aware. So, you know, that's what I'm trying to do with the stuff that I've done.
All right. William, I wanted to get your definitely a great way for me, at least from my perspective. Facebook and Twitter have been indisposable. So if you have a Facebook group or a Twitter you'd like to throw out there for the people.
Yeah, I don't really know how to use Twitter, to be honest with you, but my Facebook page is just William Ramsey. You can look me up on there, and, you know, I generally accept everybody's friend request as long as they're not Satanists. I've had a couple of people who want to be my friend who, you know, are clearly occultists, and, you know, don't send me a friend request if you are one of those. I won't accept that. But, I like to keep in touch with people. I've also written some articles that aren't, you know, in my book or film, and you can kind of look those up on the internet. Just look up William Ramsey Occult. And, you know, I've kind of distilled some of my ideas into a 1,000-word, you know, pages, 1,000-word letters or whatever, writings that, you know, have been published on websites like Henry Racow and other websites throughout the internet.
Well, great then. All right, guys. Well, we're at the end of it here. We've had 2 hours with an outstanding guest, as usual. Unfortunately, always brings us a little bit of bad news, but better to be aware of what's coming than, you know, because you can hear it just from, you can hear it right in your voice, William. You don't like what you see, I can tell you that. And when you've done as much research as someone like myself or, you know, and William writing the books he does and doing the documentary, it doesn't get any, the picture doesn't get any brighter. So we appreciate you being on here with us, William. Hopefully things will get better and people will be aware of what all is around them and we can fight back. I hope we can. Until then.
Me too. Me too.
Check out his site, occult911.com.
All right, Larry. Like, have a good night. Thanks, man.
All right, buddy. All right, that was William Ramsey, of course. I hope you enjoyed the interview. He's always the easiest interview ever. Ton of information. Probably guilty of talking a little bit too much from my end. But if you do a couple interviews, you'll see how it goes. Sometimes you got to push them along. Sometimes they push you out of the way. So I'm more than happy to do that for such a great guest. William Ramsey, one of the most outstanding guests I've ever interviewed. So I appreciate having him on here, and we'll see him again in a few months. I posted to Facebook the show that we were referencing, that Brett Shepard Franklin Conspiracy Show. So if you're on my Facebook page, you can grab that. William, I'll get that to you if you're still listening. I'll send that an email.
So thank you, Freedomists. We'll see you next time on The Rude Awakening. That'll be Saturday. I'll be here 7:30 to 9:30, a couple days away. See you then. That's it and that's all. Rude Awakening, out of here. Let me play something on the way out. Oh, now I can play Itanamuli. William is gone. I don't want to play naughty words with guests in the house.
They are going to release a bioweapon that is going to kill almost everybody. Now I'm going to explain something to you. This is guaranteed. Guaranteed.
Your mentality has done a 180-degree flip. I think you like to get tied up and lashed with a whip. Strung upside down, a jack for your shit. Covered in feces with thumbtacks in your lip. That's what you get when you fuck with the king. Making the wrong move will get you stuck in the bing. God bless America's a song you should sing. You're dealing with child molesters in the pedophile ring. Everything's under heavy control. From your puppet president to your petty patrol. When they protect the infrastructure, they'll be ready to roll. Fuck a mortgage foreclosure, they will lever your soul. Communication giants are spying on you from Venus. And you think it's coincidental they own all the arenas. To know the outcome, it doesn't require genius. Verizon wireless services are interlinked with FEMA's.
Yeah!
I got Veritas on my side in the end, my friend. What do you got? Probably mercury-free flu shots. You ain't touching this without oven mitts. It is too hot. You have blown up in the patriot community. And it seems you've shown up with immunity. At the gun rally in Austin. What you said the blights wasn't nice in your liar suits, Lawson. If I see you in New York, I hope you say something. I'm not Mike from ProThink. I will spray something. You're a fraud and you can no longer mask that. You can get your bullhorn and your ass cracked. You're the chosen shepherd and deceiver, a million-dollar patriot to make them all believers. The new world order star wide receiver, or just the ultimate fall guy like Hoseiver.
Thank you.
That was a fun show, Bill. It wasn't great, but it was good. I love you, you little creature.
I love you, honey.
You little sexy being alive.
The TV's on the timer.
All right.
Thank you. Thank you.